and pop, top 40, R&B, and dance. MixItUpRadio.net.
A year ago, I took a stand. A stand against racism. When you see or hear something racist, it's hard to know what to do. But you can always do something. If it feels safe, you can speak up. Or you can report it to someone who can help. But if you say nothing or do nothing, nothing changes. So take a stand.
Racism, it starts with me.
This is a Mix It Up Radio disclaimer. The opinions expressed on the radio program by the host, co-hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Mix It Up Radio or its affiliates. Free thought is a philosophy, not a policy. And although the programs may take stands on individual issues, the show itself remains an educational platform. The purpose of this radio program is to educate the public on issues which affect Australians and their families. This radio program gives people a chance to discuss topics which are not normally discussed in a social context as radio. Many of the topics discussed are on a very personal issue, and some people may find opinions expressed on this program offensive. It is you, the listener, who makes the choice of whether to believe us or listen in or not. Our opinions are based on individual philosophies. We do not present anything on this site that is not educational. We are open to your criticism or ideas for future radio programs. Please feel free to email us at mixitupradio@gmail.com. This has been a Mix It Up Radio disclaimer.
Show. That is correct. The Wrestling Asylum Show is now a podcast show, not a live show. And we're going to have a mixture of many guests on board from show to show. We're going to talk nothing but wrestling, whether that's local stuff here in Australia or, of course, WWE, TNA. We may even bring up some old WCW stuff and much more. But, of course, my crazy co-host, he is on the road to WrestleMania. He is, of course, in the car with Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, and many others heading towards the big one in WrestleMania. He is, of course, Dave Harding. How are you, Dave?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm freaking out, but I've got Roman Reigns at the wheel, and he's going all psycho on us. So
We could end up anywhere between here and, well, China, maybe. But, yeah, I've been pretty good. How about yourself, Anthony?
Pretty good, pretty good. Coming off the road of QCW Trans-Tasman event, and I'm sure you saw what happened between me and 13. I think first time ever that I was able to, be in the same ring as 13, who, as we recall, last year spent majority of the Wrestling Asylum shows, him and Rabies taking over.
Yeah, and he beat your ass. Did he actually get his TV back, or are you still considering not giving it back to the poor thing, to let him watch his cartoons?
Oh, well, I'm leaving him to his cartoons and his own willings and dealings. But, Dave, we've also got our very first guest for our very first return show in 2015. Now, I must say that I've heard some big things of our guest, but what's been amazing to me is that I haven't heard high or low from him in over a year, and it was great to finally, get in contact with him. I know, Dave, you and I basically sat down with our guest and with his management team, and we managed to finally sign a contract to get him on air. But it did take a lot of willing and dealing, you'd have to say, Dave, before we introduce our guest.
Yeah, it did take a while, and we finally got it all done, and it was a very interesting night when we actually finally got him on, so hopefully it'll be another interesting night tonight.
Definitely not wrong, and of course, those who know or have heard of our guest, they know he is a local Australian wrestler, big main eventer on the Queensland circuit. He is, of course, Flashman. Flashman, welcome to the Wrestling Asylum Show, and good to have you back on.
Yeah, how's it going? It's good to be back here talking to you boys again.
Definitely great. I want to know though, Flashman. It's been a very, very long year since I've actually seen you in a QCW wrestling ring. As I recall, the last time I actually saw you was Trans-Tasman Takedown 3 last year. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I guess I'm an old man now. Nah. I don't know. I mean, to borrow a line from one of my recent favorite wrestlers, depends on what time you have, man, because I've got a lot of things that I want to get off my chest. And quite frankly, there was no personal reason as to why yours truly decided to walk away from QCW. I love the locker room there, but there were just decisions, and there were poor decisions made towards yours truly, and I decided that, you know, at that time that I should take a step back and I should go off and do some other endeavors and maybe just heal up for a bit, because as you guys are probably well aware, being QCW loyal fans, that at some point in my career in QCW that I landed a square on my neck and had some issues there, so I decided that that was a good time as any to sort of take the opportunity to, as the decisions were made for myself, that, you know, now is a good time to sort of step away, as I wasn't necessarily doing as much that I'd previously done in QCW. So I felt that as my, I wouldn't say spotlight, but as my position in the company sort of became less and less reoccurring and less more important to the overall running of the show, I decided that it would probably be a good time that I'd take a step back and start looking at healing my neck and doing other endeavors. But I've called management. I haven't heard from anyone in a year, not even Ricky Rembrandt, who, as most people would know, him and I had an on-again, off-again friendship, and it seems that in this day and age, Ricky Rembrandt is more concerned about chasing silver cups and championship titles than he is about friendship, so if that's how he wants to play it, man, then cool. Like, I don't have an issue with that. And hell, if I was given the opportunity to go for a belt, then yeah, I'd be up there doing the same thing. But, you know, it does become apparent that further on in your career, it's always helpful to remember where you started. And I sure as hell remember starting with Ricky Rembrandt in the QCW world. So, yeah, that's pretty much, you know, what's happened in a nutshell. Like I said, it depends on how much time you have, man. I could talk for 4 hours and let you guys know the ins and out of where I've been and what I've been doing, but to keep it PG and to keep it nice, I'll summarise it with that.
Well, I'm amazed because I'm scratching my head because I'm not sure, as you know, I am the new general manager of QCW. As we know, Jacob Jarrell has stepped aside, gone on to bigger endeavours and so forth. And to my surprise, I've not seen an email come across my desk or even a phone call relayed to me that Flashman wants to come back to QCW. So in saying that, I think you and I and your management team, we need to have a discussion, whether that's after tonight's show, whether that's over the next few days, because we need to sign this contract to get you back in a QCW ring. I don't understand how Flashman is not in a ring at QCW. I mean, I don't know about Ricky Rembrandt, and I'll endeavour to give him a good kick in the rear end, because you're not wrong chasing cups over friendship, but I would actually like to please explain as to why he's not even relayed any messages, even to when Flashman was healthy and ready to return.
Well, it's interesting because I had no idea that you're general manager now, which would explain why a lot of my phone calls went unanswered. As far as Jacob Jarrell is concerned, I've always admired and appreciated the respect and the authority that man had, and I had no idea that he actually stepped down, so that's news to me. But in terms of why, it's interesting. I mean, this radio show now is very interesting to me because, I had no idea that you were the general manager now. But look, it's not that I haven't tried to come back. I figured that if I was wanted back, that someone would approach me. But it seems that the only people that are approaching me to return are pretty much everyone that sits day in and day out, month in and month out, at your shows and your training events, questioning where I am and wondering why I'm not on the show. So the rule of wrestling is you give the people what they want, and far out, I've got enough emails here to prove to you that enough people want me to come back in that ring. But you know, it's not a matter of timing. I don't want to rush into things. Obviously the demand is there. And look, if you want to try your best and try to talk to and work out some sort of agreement to coming back, then look, man, if it's good for both parties, then I'll do it. But right now, I have no rush to come back. I'm happy where I'm at currently. But look, if the demand is there and we can work out an agreement, then yeah, look, I'm happy to be a part of the roster again. When? I don't know, but let's just see how it goes. But yeah, look, as you mentioned, as far as Ricky Rembrandt goes, man, I don't know even where to start with that, to be quite honest. The guy was supposedly my friend. He was there the day I was injured. He was there the day I was back. But look, when it comes down to brass tacks, look, if he wants to chase the gold, then hell, man, fine. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But it would have been nice to have a call or an email or some sort of text saying, like, hey, man, look, I've been thinking of you. Hey, man, where you at? But it's been 365 days, over 365 days, and for a guy that's carried around a championship for 200-plus days to then lose it, to then sit around and not do anything for 4 months because, you know, why, I don't know, but in that time when that championship wasn't a priority, he could have picked up the phone, but he decided not to, man, and, you know, I mean, it sounds biased, like, why didn't I pick up the phone, why didn't I talk to him, but, you know, it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. I'm just saying, look, if I step away from your home and we built a friendship, naturally I'd be concerned as to where my friend is gone, but, look, if that's how he wants to operate, then tell him, let's operate, man. But from a business standpoint, that's how he wants to do it, that's fine. From a personal standpoint, I still consider him a really good friend, but business-wise, I don't know, man. Like, that's not how I would do things. But look, if you want answers, and if you want me to come back, then yeah, man, you're just going to talk to the right people. But man, if you're going to approach this meeting, then yeah, just don't, you can't expect a deadline. I'm happy to sit down and negotiate. I'm happy to talk about it now that I know who the hell's in charge there, because, God, I mean, trust, yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, communication, man. I had no idea that you're now the general manager of things there. So, yeah, good. I now know who's in charge there. So, yeah, look, if you want to talk brass tacks and you want to start putting pens to papers, then, yeah, let's have a talk, man.
I'm a man all about what's best for business, and I know for a fact that Flashman is best for business. So if there's one thing I know, if it means we've got to sit down and put aside the political crap, we will do it, and we will endeavour to sign some sort of agreement to make sure that by the time 2015 is out, Flashman is in a QCW ring no matter what needs to be done. Because at the end of the day, it's what's best for business.
It's a good line. I like it. Yeah, look, man, before we start throwing terms and who said what around, I don't believe in politics. I stepped away, and that was my decision. It was no one else's. So it wasn't an issue of politics, my friend. So I just want to get that clear before, you know, we start getting emails and bombarded with ban letters going, oh, the P word. So it wasn't an issue of disregard and unhappiness. It was just the right time for me to take a step back. But look, people, like I said, the demand is there. And yeah, look, if it's best for business and it's what people want, then, well, let's give the people what they want. But when, I don't know, but I'm happy to talk about it.
We will endeavour to sort this out off air and away from the radio show. But Dave, you want to you want to add something to this conversation, this dilemma of why one of the greats, the good guys of wrestling, is not in a QCW ring when this is best for business that he should be.
Well, first off, when the hell did Triple H become GM of QCW and start taking over this radio show?
When I decided to give him the real words of wisdom that it is best for business, or better still, as Paul Heyman would say, my name is Anthony Romano, but you already know this. But I'm not the one.
Well, that was actually Del Rio, so you know. That is another question for you, Mr. Romano, if you please. Does that mean you're going to be carrying a shovel around and start burying people, or are you just going to wait until at least a year into your GM-ship?
Well, see, funny you mention that, Dave. While it's only the beginning of things to come that I've been in as GM, mind you, I've been around QCW for a year, if there's one thing that you need to carry, it's more than a shovel. And more so in burying a few people along the way, my biggest plan is to bury what is left of the Circus of Tragedy. And if it means I've got to drag people in, such as trying to make sure we get Flashman back in a QCW ring, or speaking to Ricky Rembrandt and just asking why have we not done anything about this, then I will do it. Because it's not best for business when you get one of your best wrestlers sitting on the sidelines, but it's also not best for business when you get people like Circus of Tragedy doing what they did, especially at Trans-Tasman Takedown 4.
Well, I have to say, it was actually hilarious seeing 13 actually beat your ass there, so maybe Flashman can give us a close-up with a camera or something next time around.
Yeah, well, but the circus, is the circus still there? Are they still causing problems? A year later, are they still causing problems in QCW?
They are. They recently had Slamming Sam and Cyprian or Cyprian or however you want to call him. They also had one other bloke, but now, as we speak, the Circus of Tragedy is now Rabies the Clown, 13, and Natus. So while it looks like after Trans Tasman Takedown that they've taken a hit, I don't know what to expect going forward, especially coming into March 14th with the Best of the Best coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time. It's interesting that they've expanded and they have clothes. It just shows you what kind of leadership they must have going on. If a group can form and expand and then crumble within a year, then I don't know. Maybe the circus is starting to finally show cracks. It's interesting that the three original members are still there. I've had personal dealings with all three of them, and I'm not afraid of any of them anymore. I've fought them enough to know how they work. It's not clean and it's not fun. They were a terror when I was still there in the locker room, and they're still going strong now in some aspects, regardless of members leaving and coming in and moving and doing what. If there's still a formation in the QCW world, then I can only assume that they're still sort of creating somewhat of chaos. But look, if it's a matter of sorting out the good from the bad, then it doesn't take a lot of people to realize that yours truly is a beacon of good, and I am not afraid if the right deal gets signed, I'm not afraid to go up against the circus again, because yeah, look, if they're still there, someone needs to sort them out, and God, if no one's done it already, then hell, I might be the one to do it.
Definitely not wrong, because many have tried, and unfortunately many have failed. And speaking of the Trans-Tasman takedown that happened this month, it was only 2 weeks ago. As we know, 13 came out demanding his title shot that he believes he rightfully deserved, but he didn't get it. He was booked in a six-man tag match. It was him, Slam and Sam, and Cyprian against the Australian Wolf, Tim Cade, and Ben Ayres. And to a lot of amazement, it was the Anzacs, of Australian Wolf, Tim Cade, Ben Ayres, getting the win over the Circus of Tragedy, which led to Slamming Sam and Cyprian being taken out by 13. And as we've seen on his Facebook page, that they are no longer part of the Circus of Tragedy. So, Dave, it only leaves Natus, Rabies, and 13, yet you still would believe that they are a dominant force in QCW.
Well, you got 13 that's pretty big there, so he's pretty scary when he goes off his nuts. So, yeah, you got a crazy clown that's running around stealing inflatable clowns all over Australia there. It was last seen Danny Davenport actually pinching Bobo the Clown. So, you know, you just got to worry about these guys that are a bit unstable, that are running around doing what they can. I mean, you just have to remember last year when they kidnapped Mickey Toothpad and they held him for ransom for a while and threatened to take over the radio station by throwing things and crashing the studios and also locking me out of the studio for the night. So, you know, it's hard to see how people are going to get past these guys when they can do almost anything they want.
Definitely not wrong, and Flashman, it leaves you wondering with a group like the Circus of Tragedy. It seems to sort of remind many people of, I guess, what the NWO used to cause, but the NWO had one of the biggest names in wrestling that nobody ever thought he would join. He would go from, you know, taking his vitamins and telling people to immortalize the immortal Hulk Hogan, only for him to turn his back on the fans and become what we know him as, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and forming the NWO with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Yeah, well, I don't know how relating the NWO to the circus is similar, but it's two different entities, quite probably. But the reason that Hulk Hogan's turned in formation of the NWO was that he was such an iconic character for the children and such a role model in the world of sports entertainment. To have that then drastically turn and pretty much become the Voldemort of wrestling, people just... they did it at the right time for the right reasons, and it just created the right effect. How that relates to the circus, I'm not too sure. Maybe some members need to do the opposite switch. Maybe some members need to break out and fight the good fight. I don't know, but it's just a matter of... Just how they lock you guys out of... Like, I have no idea. They trashed a set and locked you guys out of the studio. I mean, this is taking it a bit insane. Yeah, look, There's not much more I can say over the radio. It's beyond the point from you guys telling these stories about this group. It's beyond the point that I can't sit here and talk about it anymore because action just needs to be done. I think I remember the last time I was on the podcast we spoke about the circus, and I think they were doing shady dealings back then too. So, yeah, look, it's just talking about these stories is starting to just annoy me. So, look, it comes down to action. And if some of the locker room need to step up and start taking the flight to these boys, because, quite frankly, they're not doing it, and it's actually bizarre that no one has actually tried to fight these guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully someone steps. Hopefully someone can hear me right now and realizes that these guys need to step up and actually bring the fight to these three. I mean, it's three guys. You know, just get a team together. Stop mucking around. If you guys like chaos and you guys like having your locker room terrorized, then cool. Keep not doing anything. But you know, give these guys a challenge. You know, there's enough strong faces and strong wrestlers that can sort of put a grudge and put their issues behind them and face these three and put an end to this. But I'm not the one to suggest who, and I'm not the one to say that certain people can and can't do whatever they can and can't do. But it just comes down to simple mathematics. 3-on-3, just have it duke it out and just have done with it. Because, you know, you can talk about it when you want to, your face turns blue, but someone just needs to do something about it, and no one's done it, and that's disappointing. So, if I was you, Anthony, as the GM, I would be seriously questioning the integrity of the locker room and finding out who has actually got the guts to stand up and fight these boys, because from the looks of it, a year later they're still going, and a year later they're still pissing people off and doing crazy things and getting away with murder, quite frankly, in the wrestling world. Then you need to find the three other people to go up against them. Who it is, I don't know. That's your decision. I don't call the shots. I just perform and entertain. But you need it's come down to action, and someone needs to do it. That's all I'm going to say, man. I have no more words about the circus.
It's definitely an interesting thing to go to, and you're not wrong. And it'd be interesting to find out who would be willing and able to, you know, take on the Circus of Tragedy. But in saying that, it's finding the right three men that would be more than capable of taking the Circus of Tragedy down and out once and for all. Because my only concern is that at the best of the best, on the 14th of March at the Sands Tavern, it could potentially get out of hand. But I want your opinion, Flashman, on another match. And this one is basically broken down in two. The match was Renegade versus Lucas Gold. And Renegade won it via disqualification. But the reason why he won it by disqualification was ex-referee Nathaniel West come out and beat the crap out of Renegade with a chair. Only for Ricky Rembrandt to come out and break up the fight. And this led to a Nathaniel West-Ricky Rembrandt match. And here's the kicker for you. Nathaniel West, ex-referee, beat Ricky Rembrandt via submission.
What? Hang on. Is this the Twilight Zone? Is this real life, or is this just fantasy? Like, is that? All right. So, okay. Right. So, I'm gonna take back what I said. Is Ricky feeling okay? Because I've been put in various submission holds in my career, and Ricky Rembrandt is one of the most technical guys that I know. Well, that's not blowing smoke, that's just pure fact. You guys can see it when you watch it and stream it online. You guys can watch it back and see that, just how technical this guy is. But, I mean, I know Nathaniel. When I was there, he was still being a referee. Okay, he beat him by submission. Right. What? Alright, so Nathaniel hit Renegade with a chair, and Ricky came out and did the right thing, only to lose to a submission hold. Is Ricky injured? Like, is there some sort of nagging injury going on? Like, I don't doubt Nathan's ability. I'm sure he's training hard and doing all the right things, but it's strange for Nathan to be so forward and strong against Rembrandt when I know that Rembrandt has the technical ability to pretty much counter and beat up anyone. So I've got to question the integrity of Ricky. Maybe his head wasn't in the game, and I'm not to say that Nathan can't beat anyone in a fair fight, but I don't know, man. When you talk about technicality and submissions, Ricky pretty much has it hands down. Has accounted to pretty much every ensemble move he can string together. But all right, power to Nathan. Like, good on him. I'm glad that he, you know, could beat one of the most technical guys. But what is happening? Like, you guys are there. Is Ricky injured? Was his headbutt in the game? Like, did it look fair? What was going on?
Well, he's not currently injured, and I'm yet to get a word or even a conversation from Ricky with a what the hell happened. While I've tried, it's been on deaf ears, but I'm going to endeavour to try and find out why and how it happened. Because to lose in that fashion, especially Ricky Rembrandt, crowd favourite, we know him for his great submissions. He sort of reminds me of your CM Punk like wrestler, and yet he's somehow lost to a referee in Nathaniel West. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. After the show, whenever we decide to sit down, I'm probably going to need to ask for some sort of open line of communication with Ricky. I don't necessarily want to drive down to training, nor do I want to come to a venue just to chat to the guy, but I would like to find some sort of open line of communication, preferably not social media, because that just causes more controversy than it does solutions. So if whenever we decide to sit down, I'd like, if you could, to bring to the meeting some form of communication, whether it's a number or some sort of email for Ricky. And yeah, look, it sounds like I'm, you know, blowing smoke and not really promoting guys where they should. If it's not an issue of Nathan's skill, I'm sure he's great. And if we work out a deal, I'd love to get in there and just see how good Nathaniel West is. But you know, I'm talking more from a friendship thing here, and it's just bizarre that Ricky wouldn't have his head in the game at that point. So yeah, look, I would like to get some sort of open line communication with him, and to chat to him and see what we can do and see what's going on, man, because he might have issues there that he's not addressing. And I've always known Ricky to be pretty open with me, so yeah, if we could bring that to the meeting, man, that would be great. But if it's come down to skill, then I don't know, maybe Ricky he's hiding something, man. Maybe he's hiding something. Maybe he's got some issues pending, or he's got something, maybe he's got an injury there that he doesn't want to deal with. I don't know. But I would like to talk to him, and you've probably got all his contact details. So yeah, let me chat to him, man, and and see what I can find out. And you know, maybe I can sit down and have a chat to him. But until then, I don't know. I don't have the answers, man. The best guy to probably ask would either be Nathaniel or Ricky himself.
Definitely not wrong, and we're definitely going to endeavour to fix that up and sort that out. Now, Dave, you were watching the Trans-Tasman Takedown 4 over Ustream from Tasmania, of course. You saw what unfolded at the top of the show. We then saw Mickey Too Fat come out for the save, which, as the two-time QCW champion, you would expect that to happen. Sending 13 to the back. He then beat Rufio. We then had a return, and I want your thoughts on this particular match, Dave, first, and I'm going to ask Flashman as well. But Dave, we finally saw a return of women's wrestling in a QCW ring. It hasn't been seen since Smasher Huntress was in the ring with I believe Rabies the Clown, and it was Kira Summers versus Catherine Minx. And Kira Summers got the win.
Yeah, I've actually seen Kira Summers in other promotions over some film clips as well.
Okay.
Go Flashman, you can.
Oh, no, sorry, I was trying to try. You go, I'm not being rude.
Ah, that's alright, I just thought you were just talking there. But, yeah, it was an interesting match, and the crowd seemed to actually get along there with the women's wrestling, and it was actually good to see them given a bit of time there to actually showcase their skills, because I've actually seen Kira Summers, as I said, in other promotions and other clips that have been posted around of her. So it was good actually to see her in a QCW ring and actually showcase her skills to a crowd that seemed to enjoy their work there.
Definitely not wrong. And Dave, I guess the other thing when it comes to women's wrestling is that it's a great showpiece, no matter where in the world it is, whether it's, I guess, QCW or WWE. I just sort of think, and its ability to grow should lead to having more and more of women in the ring and their matches.
Well, you just have to look at Shimmer Women's Athletic and all the indies that have got women wrestlers, how popular their wrestling has been, and how over in Japan they're still popular there, and, you know, we've got some decent Australian wrestlers there that are starting to come through, like Madison Eagles, and you also got Emma in the WWE right now, and hopefully they can all get their chance to showcase their skills and not have a 30-second match on Raw, like we saw this week, which we'll get to, I'm assuming, later in the show once we get to the WWE part of the show, but it's just good to see them get their chance to actually have a decent match and have some time to actually work a match and not actually just go out there and wave and then just gear up the crowd a bit and then go to the back. So it's actually good to finally see some women's action.
Flashman, of course, finding out your thoughts on this the women's match that went down. Of course, Kira Summers versus Catherine Minks. Do you think it's lacking, even where you're currently wrestling on the Gold Coast, that the women's wrestling in general, whether it's, I guess, here in Australia, or as Dave pointed out with what happened with Raw and that 3-second match, that it's not being taken serious, and they really need to look at it as it being serious, because the women really do wrestle. They're not just divas who don't wrestle.
Well, first things first, I haven't wrestled for the Gold Coast in about 2.5 years. I left there 2013 and joined up with QCW and did what I need to do there. Where I'm at now is a place called QPW, and I'm helping to train wrestlers there, and occasionally we get the odd live event. As far as women's wrestling goes, look, I've had business dealings with Catherine before. She's come down to our gym and she trains. She trains her ass off, so she has the integrity and she has the heart to be a part of wrestling and, as such, women's wrestling as a whole. Now, if you're talking from a roster standpoint, then hell yeah. Hell yes, there needs to be more women's wrestling in Queensland, let alone Australia. Yes, you have your standout stars, but the problem is that, for me, as I said, and as the disclaimer was said at the beginning of the show, this is just a personal opinion, I feel that a lot of the women that sort of come up through the ranks and establish themselves as a name in Australia and a pioneer to women's wrestling, it's also, like I said before, they sort of forget their origins. They sort of forget where they came from, and they forget that, you know, they started like most of the wrestlers these days start. You know, they start learning the basics, learning the bumps, learning how to hold, learning how to stand. And it's almost a sense of, you know, they don't go out there and actually try and help these people. It's all about, oh, I'm a big name and I'm just going to kill you for the sake that I'm going to kill you in the ring because I'm better than you and I've had a longer career. Yeah, great. Like, that's awesome. But if you look at sports entertainment, much like we do movies, you know, you're there to be entertained. You never go to a movie and see Arnold Schwarzenegger not work alongside someone or be a dick during scenes and things like that. Sure, movies are a bit different because actors get paid and whatnot, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty and it's all about entertainment, I would rather have a big name go up against someone that's either just started or someone that doesn't have a lot of experience or someone that's sort of starting to gain a bit of popularity and create a good story between the two of them. But that's how I would approach it. You know, you could do a 3 or 4 month story between the two of them and create something actually good. Instead of that, it's come down to, as you said before, Anthony, with the dreaded P word, politics, that it's like, oh, I'm just going to go out there and beat up this person. You lose finance, you lose crowd involvement, you lose company investment from the public because you cut off what could be an interesting story between this up-and-comer that wants to make it and someone that's an established name, and you put them together and you work a program or you work a story together that's interesting and it brings them both up. You know, it takes the veteran back to the schoolyard, and it makes this green person, or this person that's just started. I don't like using the word green. Green for me is a derogatory term. I don't like using it. I actually feel sick for even using that word just then. Someone that's just started training, or, you know, wants to get in there and has the first couple of matches, you put them two together, and you can create magic, man. And I think what a lot of promoters and maybe perchance wrestlers are forgetting is that they're forgetting the magic of what good storytelling takes and what it needs to help the business and help pro wrestling as a whole continue to thrive and become relevant and interesting again. So, to originally answer your question, do I think that women's wrestling needs to be expanded or it needs to be more heavily involved? Yes. Without a doubt, yes. When it comes down to storylines and it comes down to more women wrestling, then yeah, I definitely think there should be. I have never met Kira Summers personally. Like most in Queensland, let alone Australia, I have heard of her name. And as I said before, I have had business dealings and I have helped train to some extent, not from the very start, but later days. I have been training Catherine Minks and helping her sort of find out and establish what she wants to do in the pro wrestling world. And like I said, man, she's got a heart of gold. And she won't take no for an answer. You could put her through the rings and she'll come out sweating and grab a towel and ask what's next. Like, she's very determined. So yeah, I just hope that when it comes down to women's wrestling, and if there's girls out there that listen to this, or there's girls out there that want to wrestle, man, just do it. Like, no one's going to stop you. If anything, we need more. We definitely need more women's wrestling. I mean, I'm a fan of it, so long as it's done properly. I've never been a fan of girls coming out in hot pants and sort of play fighting for about 5 minutes. And, like, I've never been a fan of that. You know, if I were to see women's wrestling, if a girl was to come to our gym and was to train and want to sign up and be a wrestler, I would train her to be a wrestler. I would not train her to, you know, go on hotspots or go on Lucha or go to, you know, some sort of wrestling gear website and buy hot pants and go, okay, cool, I'm going to teach you really crappy moves so you can run around and flick your hair around and just be an idiot for 10 minutes because we don't care. Like, that's not right. That's not wrestling. And quite frankly, if a guy was to come in and do that, you wouldn't tell a guy, all right, buy your gear and we'll just kill everyone day in, day out, but we just keep taking your money. I mean, that's not right. So I want to do it to a guy, so why would I do it to a girl? So, you know, everyone has the chance to do it. And look, man, at the end of the day, I'm 4'9". I weigh not very much. You know, I weigh under 40 kilos. Yeah, wet. And I still go in there and give it my all. So, you know, I'm going to be the first to stand up and say, yeah, women's wrestling is definitely needed. And, you know, I'll be happy to give any girl that wants to step in the ring a chance. So, yeah, man, let's get some more women in there and, you know, let's see them duke it out, because why not? It's good to break up the field every once and again. So, yeah, let's definitely I'm keen for that.
What's, Flash, man, and you did make mention about getting women down trained. I know next Tuesday and next Thursday that QCW have a open day to the public where they're offering 2 free training sessions to anybody who wants to experience what it takes to be a wrestler and offer that experience if you want to get involved. And of course, you can go to the QCW Facebook page or even QueenslandChampionshipWrestling.com and click on the training button. But Flashman, the talking of the women wrestling, we know in currently out with regards to what happened on Raw, and we'll definitely look into this, that there was a 3-second women's match. It was pretty much pathetic. It was a waste of time. But AJ has attacked Stephanie McMahon on Twitter, and now there is a petition out about getting women's wrestling, whether that's women from NXT, women from the WWE, and really giving them their dues and their right deserved. Whether that's maybe having a women's only show, I mean, I don't know if there's enough divas to do it, there's potential, but or giving them more of the spotlight as they rightfully deserve, especially whether that's on Raw, SmackDown, or even on any of the pay-per-views. What are your thoughts?
Since pretty much the Attitude Era ended, and most of the Attitude Era figureheads have come and gone, most notably Trish, Lita, Chyna, Molly Holly, Victoria, You know, it's women's wrestling in the public eye of the WWE is sort of become a joke. It's sort of like a nice little, girls that look like supermodels, you know, bouncing around and having a bit of fun. Girls that sort of break up and have started to give wrestling, women's wrestling especially, the notoriety and exposure that it's needed, most notably for my people, the girls that I like watching, Paige, AJ, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Emma, even though they've given Emma a terrible gimmick. I mean, yeah, look at us, the kooky Australian doing some sort of weird Egyptian dance with bubbles. I mean, all right, whoever was the creative genius by that needs to be taken out the back and shot, because that's just a terrible idea. I've spent time very briefly with Emma at a pop culture convention, and she's a very, very lovely person. Of course, you would be doing promotional work for the WWE. You're not going to necessarily sit there and flip people off and tell them to go get effed, but you know, she has a heart of gold, and that's what's important in pro wrestling, especially women's wrestling. So, I mean, yeah, it's the WWE have definitely dropped the ball with women's wrestling. Having said that, though, the women's wrestling on NXT is quite exceptional. I mean, I watched the Fatal 4-Way they did at NXT, I think it was Rival a couple of weeks ago, and that was awesome. I thought it was one of the best matches on the card, and then you put someone like Paige, who had a long career in NXT, and put her on Raw, and yeah, she came in and won the Divas title, and that was because AJ needed time off to get married and things like that, and it was a business decision, and it was a very, very good one, and she had a run with that, but I don't know, they kind of dropped the ball big time. You know, they give it to the Bellas, and okay, yay, Bellas are married to Cena and Bryan, woohoo, they're never going to get fired. So, yeah, it's just, they just need to focus on wrestling again. I haven't seen Raw, and that's disgusting if a match is 3 seconds. I do know of the trend you're talking about, and I do know of the Twitter conversation that you referred to with AJ Lee and Stephanie McMahon, how Stephanie's promoting, you know, give women a chance, and AJ comes back with give Divas a chance. And to be quite honest, I think recently, as of maybe about an hour ago, Vince McMahon himself actually replied to this hashtag that's now trending and all these sort of women around the world saying, like, yeah, you know, give Divas a chance, woohoo. Vince, being the businessman that he is, has replied simply with, we hear you, keep watching. So, I mean, you know, what is that? Like, we hear you, like, you know that these girls are getting underpaid and composed to the men, you're giving them terrible matches, and we're quite frankly ripping women off. So, what do you say, man? Like, when it comes down to money, it can get very dirty. I mean, right now, you gotta love this, man. I mean, right now I'm actually on Twitter and I'm looking at the conversation you sent to me, and I can see the conversation between AJ and Stephanie, and as of, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna say again a couple of hours ago, Stephanie's actually replied to AJ with, thank you at WWE AJ Lee, I appreciate your opinion, hashtag use your voice. Now, you could have just literally uploaded a photo of someone punching someone else in the face and written the text AJ Lee and Stephanie on it, and had Stephanie with the one throwing the punch and AJ there just copying it, because that's what a kick in the face that is. Thank you, I appreciate your opinion. I mean, is that a rude reply? Like, does that sound rude to anyone? Like, does that not sound like, look, you're the head of the women's division here, like you're in charge of, I don't even know what Stephanie's technical term is anymore. But you've got a female power head in the WWE that pretty much is like patting you on the head going, oh yes, good, very nice. You know, you went along now and play with Mr. Phil Brooks. You know, it's just, anyone else could have said that, Stephanie would have been like, you know what, yeah, I'm gonna do the right thing. But because it's AJ, you know, because of AJ Lee and, or maybe not AJ Lee, but because AJ Lee is now married to Punk, it's sort of like this tainted, you know, this tainted image, this tainted feeling of like, oh yes, you know, Phil is very angry at us, so we're going to take AJ's opinion with a grain of salt. I don't know, man. I want to see women's equality in wrestling. Sure, why not? Like, more power to them. I have no problems with it. If everyone can get along and we can make good business together, cool, why not? Like, so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting time, man. So I hope there is a positive outcome from this, but you know, I hope that the divas start getting proper treatment again, because, you know, NXT and things like that, yeah, like, they're doing great wrestling over there. It just needs to be brought back to Monday Night Raw and especially SmackDown. So, I want to wrestle again, man. I mean, there are some great matches there. I mean, Lita and China main evented Raw, and they were the only, I think to this day, they're probably one of the only modern day girls to actually do that. I still find it bizarre at WrestleMania that I think it was last year, with Taker and Lesnar, that following that match in terms of like popularity on the card, the Divas followed Lesnar and The Undertaker. And you talk about, do women need to wrestle again? Yeah, they do, because that was pretty much, they pretty much put that into the card as a break. Like, alright guys, yeah, you know, let's all recover, let's get a feed, let's go to the bathroom and come back. I mean, you don't need to do that, man. Put the girls' match on earlier. People will walk away and have a break on their own. You don't need to sacrifice women's wrestling so that people in the crowd can go, oh, let's just girls have a replay fight. I'm going to go to the bathroom now. That's terrible. Like, if the match is terrible, that's something different, but don't put a girl match on the card so everyone, you know, 70,000 people can go, oh, well, good for a bathroom break. Like, no way, man. So, yes, definitely women and divas, well, divas, hashtag divas, in WWE definitely need a fair chance. Need to start wrestling again, for sure.
Dave, on what Flashman has just said, what's your take on it? I mean, there's the petition that's going out. There's even rumour now, I don't know if you know, Dave, there's even rumour that apparently Medusa, as we know her, potentially could be the next person inducted to the Hall of Fame. Now, we all know who Medusa is and how she went to WCW and dropped the WWF title, women's title as it was back then, into the rubbish bin and basically said that, you know, her days were over. But it's definitely well under par with what the WWE is all about with regards to women's wrestling. And after hearing what Flashman has just seen on the Twitter conversation between AJ and Stephanie and even Vince, it sounds like that AJ's pretty much been given a kick in the teeth anyway. But it makes you wonder if anything is going to be done. And knowing that NXT is a Triple H own building, basically it's his little baby. Vince McMahon has nothing to say with it, doesn't get involved with anything of it, has no control. And this is why people are saying that NXT has become so much better than Raw and SmackDown, that it's become its own wrestling brand. Which is pretty insane, being that Raw and SmackDown still have Vince McMahon's hand in absolutely everything.
Well, just on Medusa, that dropping the title was actually Eric Bischoff's idea, and she's regretted ever since doing that, but it'll be good if she's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, she was one of the top divas back in the day, and even back then, they weren't really considered an actual force. I know WCW tried in the late 90s with Medusa, Akira Hokuto and all that coming in, but they soon dropped the ball as well, and they sort of just came a sideshow attraction as well come the 2000s. But you watch NXT and you see all these women that actually can wrestle, and you got Emma on the main roster that can wrestle, you got Natty on the main roster that can wrestle, you got Naomi that's starting to get better, and you got also Charlotte's hanging around, and you got also AJ Lee that's recovering from neck injury. It just seems that you got all the women that can wrestle, and you're just starting to treat them poorly just for women that have the looks and can't wrestle. It's just really sad to see a division that has so many great wrestlers come through it just look like it's nothing. And you cross over to TNA, who most people aren't very big fans of, but at least they've got a women's division that actually gets to showcase their skills, and they've even had their knockouts actually main event Impact and have the highest rating segment on Impact there in the past. They've had, I think it's now two knockouts only pay-per-views there for TNA as well. And you also look at Gail Kim and Amazing Kong that's had a top feud there in TNA. For the first time, it was the mid-2000s. Yeah, back in about 2010 all that, before Gail Kim jumped ship back to WWE. Then he got them back in TNA and put on some good matches. And yeah, Mickey James, it looked pretty good in TNA. She was starting to wrestle again properly. So you just have to wonder if this will actually be a thing, or if it's just going to be a public stunt where they say, yeah, we're going to listen, and then just go back to doing the same thing over and over again. Just seems to me that it was Steve McMahon saying, yeah, we hear you, but piss off. So that's pretty much how it seems, but we'll see how they go coming up with all these divas that are around WWE and how they actually book them. But it just seems that they don't really take it seriously, and a lot of the fans don't take it seriously, but there's still a lot to actually follow women's wrestling and actually enjoy watching them actually wrestle. It's just sad that you won't actually see a mainstream company actually push the women's division, which I guess we'll have to watch TNA for that, or watch the indies, because that's where you see most of these women actually wrestle properly.
Definitely not wrong. And before we move into the WWE, those who I'm sure will be asking, or were there asking the question of who won QCW Trans Takedown event, Australia versus New Zealand. Of course, the other matches that were there, that were on the card, was of course Gorgeous Black Love, Gary defeated Liam Cassidy via pinfall, and of course Rhett Riley defeated Rabies the Clown versus pinfall as well. So you can sort of see that the Circus of Tragedy have had a major meltdown. Of course, Paula defeated Kid Kays via pinfall, which gave the New Zealand team the Trans-Tasman Challenge win. It's amazing, Flashman, that four Trans-Tasman takedown events have gone, and it seems to be that Team New Zealand continue to have the upper hand over Team Australia, especially knowing that last year you yourself were involved in the Trans-Tasman takedown match along with Ricky Rembrandt, and I believe it was the Mexican wrestler which his name has left me. I remember it, but it was also against Jimmy Sparks. It was against of course Simon Tuccarola, and there was one other man as well. But it was a interesting match, but it saw yourself and Ricky Rembrandt unfortunately lose again for Team Australia.
Yeah, the two names that have escaped you, one is the guy that was on our team, which to this day I still question how we, Team Australia, we've got a Mexican on there, but alright, whatever. It was El Ricochet, and the other opponent on Team New Zealand was the Sweet Assassin. As I said before, I'm 4'9 and I weigh close to 40 kilos when I'm drenched. I'm going up against Team New Zealand with Rembrandt and Ricochet against three of the heaviest men I believe I've ever seen with my own naked eyes. Now, I think my elimination speaks for itself. I was the first one to be eliminated, and you might sit there and go, 4'9, of course he was the first one to be eliminated. I challenge anyone to lie down in that ring and have the Sweet Assassin and, I know him as Island Boy Sly, come running off those ropes and splash you both splash you at the same time. If you can be strong enough to kick out, let alone breathe, after having these two guys drop their weight on you, then cool, I'll be your best friend. But, yeah, that was the elimination in itself. Does Team New Zealand have the advantage? Well, statistically, yes. Team New Zealand, as of right now, has the advantage going into Trans-Tasman Takedown for next year. But do they have the passion? It's sort of very similar to the fact that, you know, you can almost break it down to what would be the one here? Maybe State of Origin, that two sides, you know, once a year they always fight. The difference is they fight three times a year. Trans-Tasman is once a year. But, again, the streak builds up, and when the streak dies, you know, the passion switches. It's all about the fan base. I mean, maybe New Zealand has the bigger fan base. Maybe the fans are more passionate for New Zealand come Trans-Tasman Takedown. I don't know. But, yeah, definitely at the moment, New Zealand is conquering, and much like the circus that we spoke earlier, that just needs to be a three-man team to come up and take them down. And again, another three-man team is just letting, not QCW, but letting Team Australia down. And sadly, my name is in that circle, but I couldn't get the job done. But it's a different year, and I guess this year they couldn't get it done either. But come on, there is another year ahead. There is another, well, it's early now, in February. There's another 10 months to go. There are the 10 shows on the belt for QCW. There can be a strong enough team. We've still got another 10 months, a year, if you're counting into the next Trans-Tasman Takedown, to build up another team to take on these guys. Can it be done? Yes. Will it be done? I don't know. Like I said, statistically, it's not getting done. But it can be done. When? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see if and when that happens. I mean, Dave, it's always a battle of numbers when it comes to, I guess, Australia versus New Zealand, or for that matter, matches against the Circus of Tragedy. But as Flashman has pointed out, something can be done and should be done.
Well, yeah, I think with the Circus of Tragedy, you need some people to actually stop fearing them and just start attacking the crazy bastards. They just seem to be worried about what actually going to happen to them after Mickey Two-Face had actually got kidnapped and held hostage in the hotel room for a few days. Maybe Mickey Two-Face needs to find his courage again and actually go after 13 for locking him in that room instead of blaming us for that, because it wasn't us that sent 13 to the hotel, and it wasn't us that actually was mouthing off at 13, it was all Mickey Two-Fat, so maybe he should find his little friend 13 and actually take him down and take out the rest of the Circus Tragedy. But as far as Team Australia goes, I think they need to regroup and find some able boys that can actually beat these Kiwis.
Definitely not wrong, and hopefully when Trans-Tasman 5 rocks around next year, we might see a Team Australia win finally. And the Australian flag held high instead of the Team New Zealand flag. But moving on, of course, we're also going to make mention Riot City Wrestling in Adelaide. Riot City Wrestling Mega Slam is on this weekend, and they have got some big matches. Of course, you've got Nick Armstrong versus Rocky Monero in a championship match. And I know if you go to the Riot City Wrestling Facebook page, Rocky Monero, who's been on Wrestling Asylum before, has definitely sent a message to Nick Armstrong. You also have the dream match, Damian Slater versus world-class Chris Basso as well. These are just a few of the matches, but it is on this Saturday, the 28th of February, at Estienne Hall, 200 Jeff Court Street in North Adelaide. Adults $18, kids under 15. $15, and of course, two adults, two kids, $60. But, Dave, Rocky Monero is no stranger to a wrestling ring, nor is he any stranger to the Wrestling Asylum show, but currently the Riot City Wrestling Champion.
Yeah, it was actually interesting note when we had Rocky on there talking about WrestleClass. So, it'd be interesting to see how he's been going since he was on Wrestling Asylum. I think it was last year sometime, maybe a year before. But, you know, I think he'll do himself fine up there. He's been doing some good matches up there in Riot City Wrestling. It'll be also interesting to see how Adam Brooks goes when he goes back there. He's supposed to be getting married to Kellyanne there at WrestleClash coming up in March. So that's going to be interesting too. So some interesting wrestling coming up for Riot City Wrestling there.
Definitely not wrong. And Flashman, yourself, I guess Riot City Wrestling in Adelaide, it's always interesting to hear what other federations are doing and wrestlers. But do any of the names, do you know any of those wrestlers? I guess for somebody who's wrestling on the circuit, whether that's locally in Queensland or Australia, you get to know a mixture of different wrestlers that are out there.
Yeah, you do. I've had the lucky chance to travel to New Zealand and travel to Perth to wrestle. I have not been to Adelaide. I would definitely love the chance to do that. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that, yeah, I've heard of all these names, because quite honestly, I haven't. That's probably my own ignorance, but I'd not say I haven't heard of RCW. I've heard of the company name. I just have not heard of the talent, because I just haven't spent my personal time investing in them. But I'd love to go to Adelaide, and I'd love to work with them, and their show sounds, from what you guys have told me, it sounds interesting enough. Like, I really hope they do a really good job. So, no, I don't know them, but there definitely are some crazy, kooky characters that you do meet in various different locker rooms. Some nice, some weird, some evil, some you just... they have good intentions, and then you question them later. But, again, that just comes down to what they want to get out of the business. So, yeah, look, I'm more power to RCW, man. I'd love to go there one day. But, yeah, no, I haven't heard of them, but I'd love the chance to get to meet them, put it that way.
Definitely not wrong, and we're going to endeavour to hopefully get Riot City Wrestlers on, or even speak to Todd Mitchell and Dave and his crazy cross-promoter from Wrestle Radio Australia. The guys are absolutely nuts at Riot City Wrestling, but you know that either Todd or his partner in crime can cause up a storm.
Yeah, I remember when we had them all on there one night and it turned into a bit of a debate off, so... We actually had a meeting scheduled for a massive debate off, but we actually haven't had them back on since. So hopefully they'll be back on the radio soon and we can get to our little wrestling debate there.
Yes, definitely not wrong. That debate is still needed to put together, and that's something that I might be speaking to Todd about, because it'd be interesting to get him back on for a mass wrestling debate. But moving on, Flashman, I guess we go straight into Fastlane, and Dave, of course, you're pointing out that it is Todd and Josh from Riot City Wrestling, and of course Wrestle Radio Australia. So, another podcast to add to the collection. But, getting into Fastlane now, Flashman, not sure if you had a chance to watch it, but I'm sure you've seen the results. I guess we saw Team Authority beating Dolph Ziggler and Eric Rowan and Ryback. We saw Goldust defeat Stardust. We saw the tag team champions change hands, and now Tyson Kidd and Cesaro are now champions. We saw Nikki Bella retain her women's championship against Paige. We saw Bad News Barrett beating Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship. What my interesting point of Fastlane, and my question to you, Flashman, is Bray Wyatt coming out with the Undertaker's music, surrounded by the Druids. He rolled out in what they're claiming to be Undertaker's coffin, and sent a message to the Phenom, and it was huge.
Yeah, for those playing the home game, spoiler. I don't know, man. Fastlane was a strange pay-per-view. The crowd, for one thing, was very dull. I think the loudest I heard them was maybe for Bryan, probably second for Sting, and maybe tied second was for the Undertaker-style entrance that Bray Wyatt decided to impersonate. Look, I grew up watching both WCW and WWF probably most like yourselves, and the interesting rivalries that I wanted to see for myself as a fan was always Steve Austin vs. Goldberg and Undertaker vs. Sting. The clash of styles, yet very similar, was always an interesting factor to me. In 2003-2004, we got to see Goldberg and Austin share a ring, not wrestling, but it was still cool to see them in the same company in the same ring, and I was happy with that. Come WrestleMania 31, and coming off Fastlane, there are questions that I have as a fan that probably won't get answered, probably most definitely won't get answered, but it's interesting to look at. I am a big fan of Taker. Like, Taker for me is, if you don't think Taker is one of the epitome of wrestling in terms of character, in terms of longevity as a career, and in terms of wrestling as a whole, I mean, Taker, when you think about it, Taker doesn't do flip moves. Taker doesn't spin around and put on, you know, lengthy holds and do any sort of flashy kind of, you know, pile drivers, tombstone, but, you know, sort of captured moves and things like that. But he's still there, and he's still current, and it's amazing that this guy, like, I challenge anyone to have a year off and come back and still be relevant, because I sure as hell know that it's a very hard thing to do, and Taker, quite honestly, and I know it sounds cliche, but Taker can stand the test of time, and he's done so. I don't know anyone that can walk away from the business and come back and be like, oh yeah, it's you. Going into WrestleMania 31, I had really originally hoped for Sting vs. Undertaker. I think every fan in the world wanted that match. We now get Bray Wyatt and Sting. Oh, sorry, we now get Bray Wyatt and Taker. We now get Sting and Triple H. Okay, sort of a fair trade, I guess. I've been enjoying Bray's promos. It was clear as day that they're obviously about Taker. Fastlane proved that. I watch Fastlane on the WWE Network for $9.99, and I'm going to be honest. I marked out hard when I heard Taker's entrance come on. I was like, yes, oh, it's going to be great. I mean, I knew going into it that okay, yeah, he's not going to be there. It's probably going to be Bray, but I don't care. Like, just the spectacle of Taker's entrance. If you don't get out of your seat and cheer for that, then there's something wrong with you as a wrestling fan. So to have that gong go off, to have that video start playing, to have the druids come out with the flames, torches, awesome. Bray's promo was simple, it was effective. Will Taker turn up before Mania? Probably not. He might turn up the week of Mania. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see, not only with the streak now not playing as a heavy role in Taker's career, how the match will go. On the flip side, if Taker was able to come back earlier, I mean, I don't know how the business went down. Maybe Taker didn't want to fight Sting, maybe it just wasn't the right time, I don't know. But looking at it purely from a fan's perspective, if Taker had come back in time and was able to do some sort of work with Sting, I think the match actually would have had more credibility that now that the streak has somewhat been stopped. Because each year and each and every year, we've all gone into it going, oh yeah, you know, streak's in the line, and oh, this guy might actually do it. And each and every year, we're like, oh yes, Taker's the man. Yeah, it's cool, the streak continues. With Sting, if the streak was still on the line, I think that it would have not have generated as much interest as it could have. And I say that because the fans would still watch, regardless, but because the streak was so high at that time, then I think, but with Sting to lose, I think people would just roll their eyes and go, oh yeah, cool, well, that was expected. Now the streak's not there, necessarily. It would have made for an interesting match come WrestleMania. But as Sting said in an interview once, he said, look, my wish is that I want to fight Taker, and I'm going to do everything that I can to get it. He goes, but if I can't, then I'd like to fight other guys, Triple H and John Cena and so forth. So we get a close second. We get his second preference, which is Triple H. I mean, I'd love to be in the fly on the wall at that locker room, have Sting and Taker walk in and go, oh, so you are here. Oh, okay, whoops. So that might make for an awkward sort of catering meal before the show. But, yeah, look, Fastlane was interesting. I don't know about Reigns and Lesnar. I'm not interested in that match at all, to be quite honest. I heard mumbles and grumbles that they were thinking of changing it to a triple threat because the fans, you know, the fans want Bryan to win the belt, and quite right too. Like, for him to go through all that, to be injured and be out for X amount of time, legitimately be injured, not just, you go make a movie and we'll say you're injured, to legitimately have a neck injury and have that injury, you know, go down to his shoulder and start affecting his mobility, and to come back and still be wrestling, for them to not utilize him again while the fans are still chanting yes to pretty much every promo. I mean, he's got the same popularity similar to that of Austin during the What era. Every time someone did a promo, what? I mean, you still sometimes get that to this day, and you still sometimes, even when Bryan wasn't there, you're getting the yes chants, whether it was because of Brie Bella, or whether it was because the fans were just, you know, wanting him back. It's wrong to not capitalize on that. And it's like we spoke about earlier, Anthony. If the demand is there, and people want said person to be in the situation, you give the fans what you want, because it's, from a business standpoint, you will guarantee to not only please your target audience, but you're guaranteed to capitalize a bucket load financially off it. So, I don't know. I mean, I understand Reigns has the Samoan family background, and no one's knocking that at all. No one's taking that away from him. But the difference is that, you know, people complained when Roman won the Rumble. Oh, how could he? It's so shitty. And then people said that, yeah, well, last year we were all cheering for him to win. Well, of course, because last year, or the year before, rather, his exposure in the Shield came naturally. It was different too. You know, they came to the crowd. It was three different guys that had been brought up from, you know, different indie backgrounds. They're in NXT, or graduated together. You know, this super cool group, taking out Taker, taking out The Rock, taking out Ryback, taking out Big Show. Oh my God, this is awesome! And you know, his exposure was natural. It was like, oh yeah, it's powerhouse of the Shield, could go to Mania, that's cool. And then they realized, okay, well, we're going to capitalize on it now and sort of force-feed you Roman Reigns to the point where it's like, oh, I feel sick. Like, every time I see this guy, it's like, yeah, cool, another awkward, mumbly-grumbly promo, and oh, yeah, there's a spear, and oh, whoopee-doo, and oh, up to the crowd you go. Like, it's just, it's boring now because they're not giving him the chance to naturally progress. It's sort of forcing us. It's much like Cena. Like, quite honestly, I was a big fan of Cena in 2003, 2004, Dr. Thugonomics, spinning US title, awesome. And then he got popular, and he had the title shot at Mania. Cool, right thing to do, capitalize. And then they just started force-feeding us Cena each and every day. It was like, oh, okay, cool. And it was like the guy couldn't lose, and it was like, oh, okay, cool, yep, sweet. And then when he did lose, it was awkward because he got a rematch next month, so it was just, there was no time to let that other person breathe. So, you know, when it comes down to WrestleMania with Lesnar and Reigns, I don't know, I'm not interested in that purely because I've been force-fed Reigns, and I don't have any interest anymore because he's overexposed now, it's too much. I'm actually keen for Lesnar to win because I've never seen a champion so rarely be televised because of, you know, his different contract dealings. So I'm more keen to see Lesnar because Lesnar's a rarity. Much like Taker is, I'm keen to see Taker. And much like Sting, because, hell, we've never seen Sting in the WWE before. So if you want guys to progress naturally, you've got to let them do it, you know, sort of on their own. You can't sort of force feed it to the crowd and hope everyone likes it, because it becomes Stockholm Syndrome. It's so bad that you sort of like it. And it's like, yeah, I don't know if I like it, or I'm just sort of gone numb and I'm gone used to it. So that's my feelings on Reigns and Lesnar. But and Sting and Triple H is another thing. Like I said, I wished it was Taker. It's a good story that they're doing with the Authority and sort of reliving that Crow gimmick that Sting had with the NWO. And that's what I like. You know, I like the theme. I like the Crow going off. I like him coming out and doing the whole Injustice angle again. That's great. Because that's how Sting got really, in my opinion, really got over, was that fact that he was so mysterious and would descend from the rafters and be different, and you would rarely see him, but when you did, it was like, oh, it's so cool, he's fighting the wrong, he's fighting the good fight and taking down the bad guys, and it was awesome. So, to have that story now be transitioned to WWE and sort of walking that line between reality when they're cutting their promos, like, you know, this is my legacy and I'm going to kill you, and your legacy is WCW, and I waved as the ship went under, and, you know, it's awesome. It makes for an interesting nostalgic story. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. I really am. But as I said, from a fan's perspective, I really wish it was Taker and Sting. I really do. Who's to say they won't cross paths in the locker room and have some sort of backstage promo, or maybe the next night on Raw after Mania? Who knows, man? But yeah, I've got my fingers crossed that one day we get the dream match that all of us fans growing up have wanted, which is Sting and Taker. But until then, I'm content with Triple H. I'm happy in the sense that's Bray. I know Bray can protect Taker. Not to say he needs protection, but God, man, Taker's getting on. And his performance with Lesnar, whether he was concussed or not, far out. It was not the Taker I remember coming out and dominating for X amount of years, however he's been there now. I think the styles of Taker and Bray is sort of, in terms of character, is sort of like a modern day twist on The Undertaker. You know, he's sort of got that sort of creepy supernatural element going on. I mean, it started off as some sort of, you know, family hit cult with the Wyatt family, but they've twisted and they've turned it, and I mean, purely from a fan's perspective, I want to know why his finishing move is called Sister Abigail. Do we ever get to find that out? Is there a history on who the Sister Abigail is? Is that the person driving the supernatural element to Bray's character? I don't know. But having said that, you wonder and you're interested because you want to know. So having that guess and that sort of pondering of that umming and ahhing, it keeps people interested and keeps it fresh. So much like Taker, you know, with the urn and Paul Bearer, may he rest in peace, and having Kane as his brother, and, you know, burying people alive and all stuff like that. It was all different, it was all nice, and it was all, you know, it livened up the locker room at the time. So, you know, Bray and Taker are very similar styles. Taker's very, you know, the originator, and Bray's the modern twist on it. So to have them clash together, I'm very keen to see what they do. So those two matches heading into Mania, man, awesome. I don't know what the rest of the card's going to be. I really hope Bryan gets put in that triple threat with Lesnar and Reigns, but we'll see. But there's at least those two matches in the card that I'm keen for. But man, it's WrestleMania, anything can happen, so we'll see what happens, man.
Well, I mean, you're not wrong with regards to Sting and Undertaker. I mean, that is the dream match. Well, hopefully it's not the last match that Sting has. Because, gee, he can still wrestle. There is no doubt about that. Bray Wyatt, I was the same, Flash, man, on the edge of the seat. The moment the Undertaker's music hit, I was out of my seat. You know, I guess like a kid in a candy store. You were screaming and yelling, thinking, yes, the Undertaker is finally returning. And then it was the statistic, Bray Wyatt. And I just think Bray Wyatt is... he's so awesome. Like, they have really allowed him to build his own character. Hopefully they don't hold it back. I believe that he will be the next champion, while Roman Reigns is a Vince McMahon boy, and we've heard the rumor about possible drug related issues that Roman Reigns has had. There's been rumor that he failed a drug test, which led to Brock Lesnar not coming out on Raw yesterday. Saw him basically pack his bag, jump in his car, and take off, leaving Paul Heyman to come out to what was a, I guess, unsure, unknown Roman Reigns. I must admit, even what Paul Heyman did was a great promo, which makes me sense that if Roman Reigns does win the title, he'll become a Paul Heyman guy if Brock Lesnar leaves. I guess in saying that, Dave, Bray Wyatt, Undertaker, Sting versus Triple H, are these, I mean, you know, was it awesome to see the confrontation between Sting and Triple H at Fastlane? But what did you think of Bray Wyatt doing what he does best?
Well, Bray Wyatt's series of promos for The Undertaker have been nothing short of amazing, and you've just got to admire that his skills from when he was Husky Harris, when he was barely able to cut a promo, to the transformation into Bray Wyatt since he went through NXT, and come back up to the main roster, and it's going to be interesting to see how they actually bring Undertaker back, if they wait until the week of WrestleMania, or if they keep the mysterious thing going where we're not going to be sure if he's going to be a match there or not. But I've also been enjoying how they've hyped up the Sting Triple H match, and how they've got Sting being a mysterious character again and tapping into what made Sting, well, Sting. But as far as Roman Reigns goes, I just wanted to comment on that. I just think he's got the personality of a cactus at the moment. He just can't count a promo to save himself at the moment, and it doesn't help me being fed pretty crappy lines. But I noticed yesterday when Paul Heyman came out, he actually perked up a bit, and his promo was actually very strong towards the end. So maybe throwing in with Paul Heyman will be the good thing for him. We'll learn how to cut a promo and actually get that intensity out that he seemed to have following the start of his promo, because when he was with Daniel Bryan, it seemed like it was a lackluster promo that just wasn't going anywhere. And then Paul Heyman came out, and Roman Reigns actually found a personality and found what he wanted to say and actually say it and not be a bit afraid to actually put it out there. So once they get Roman Reigns cutting a promo decently, maybe people will catch on more and he'll actually be a better all-rounder. I think he's got the in-ring skills there, but his promos, for me, are what's really holding him down. He's not the first wrestler to have shitty promos. It's just that he's got the wrestling skills, and they want to push him up the ladder. And a lot of fans know that Daniel Bryan's got the promos and the skills and should be there. And they're just hoping that maybe Roman Reigns will actually get there. But at the moment, it just seems that WWE's going to do what they did with Matt Morgan and continue to make him look like a complete dick on the mic and not actually put the effort into fixing it. So it'll be interesting to see how it actually goes in the future with the match with Brock Lesnar, because I'm not really a big fan of this match anyway, so if they actually end up turning into a triple threat match, I might actually be interested in this. But for now, it just seems that Sting and Triple H and Taker and Bray Wyatt are the main matches that have got me interested in seeing how WrestleMania turns out. Otherwise, it seems that the main event's going to be another dud.
Yeah, I agree on that. Taker Bray Wyatt, and I know, Flashman, you mentioned Sister Abigail. I believe Abigail was either Bray Wyatt's mother or sister, and or something. I know he's made small mention of it, which is how Sister Abigail has come about. But don't quote me on that. But in saying that, it is the standout of WrestleMania is that Sting Triple H match, Bray Wyatt Undertaker match. We know there's the Andre the Giant Memorial match. We know that the Miz and Mizdow are in it. We know that Ryback is in it. We know that Axel Mania is in it. We also know that it looks like there's going to be a John Cena Rusev rematch for the United States Championship. Of course, I believe there's always going to be a tag match. I still believe that what happened with Raw and Randy Orton returning, I still believe he's going to string those goons that the Authority are along, and then he's going to repay the favor of what the Authority did to him and what Evolution did to him, and he's going to RKO them out of nowhere. What was your take on Randy Orton's return, Flashman?
Flashman was a good return, or was boring? I felt that him coming out and sort of start the show, yeah, cool, Orton's back, woohoo! And then for them to say, come back to being the Authority, oh no, I don't do that. And it was like, yes, awesome, he's going to break out in his own, he's going to have a little feud with the Authority, it's going to dismember, awesome. And then they just go, oh, yeah, actually, no, I'll have a meeting with you guys. Like, what? Like, have him come back and instantly just start feuding. Like, you don't need to build it up. They know the history. They have a massive screen there that shows you a video from 4 months ago when he got booted in the head with a cement brick from Rollins. Like, you don't need to rebuild this story. Just have Orton come back and just have him hate on the Authority. Like, you can see what it's going to do. Oh, I'm going to join back and oh, we're going to do what's best for business and blah, 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 and then there's going to be conflict in the group and I'm going to re-leave the authority again and then feud with the same people even though I was doing that when I came back, but now I'm... It's just silly. It's an unnecessary step to Orton's return to putting back in the authority only for to break him out again. It's silly. Like, why would you need to do that? Like, it's sort of like, oh, well, I'm going to leave DX. But I'm just kidding. I'm coming back at DX now. It's like, well, are you leaving DX to break? It's like imagine if Triple H never broke out of DX and just stayed in there. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to leave. Oh, no, just kidding. I'm just going to stay with the group now. Oh, cool. And then he just never has the career that he had. To do that with Orton, you need him to break out to become relevant again because he's been away for X amount of time. He hasn't been doing anything that, you know, career storyline-wise. So you need to have him just instantly start feuding against the guys. To really put him in that group, it's just unnecessary and it's just wasting everyone's time. We all know he's going to have a fight with Rollins. Just do it now. It's WrestleMania season. You've got 3-4 weeks to go. Just... have him hate on him straight away. It doesn't matter. Like, okay, wow, he RKO'd one security, and then it just sort of was like, all right, we'll see you next week. Good night. What? Like, what was the point of that? Like, that was stupid. And then to have him being like, have like, what, some sort of social counseling session outside the ring with Big Show and Kane? Because, yeah, they're the two of the greatest talkers in the business. Like, it's just the whole ending of Raw was pointless. And it didn't need to be. Orton could have just had a brain snap and just RKO'd everyone and walked out. Cool, I would have been happy. Deal with the repercussions next week on the wall. Who cares? Oh, yeah, spazzed out. Sorry, it wouldn't happen again. Blah, 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 blah. Best for business. Goes out. Rollins blindsides him again. He does it again. Oh, cool. Awesome. Like, you know, you capitalize on it. You don't insult the fans by putting him back into a group and then go, oh, look, he's going to break out, everyone. Just wait. So, oh, great. So what, the week of Mania, he's going to leave the authority and go, I'm fighting Rollins for no reason, even though he has money in the bank, which I think becomes void very soon. So I'm not going to fight for that briefcase. And, yeah, I'll see you at Mania for a really strange match. See you there. Like, it's just awkward, and it just has too many stop-starts. Like, just put Orton in. Give him Rollins and just start it. Just start it already. It's easy. It's simple. It's the most simple story I can think of. Just go. Just play the promo video and just go. Just start. That's it. Done. No further development needed.
Flashman, what are you thinking on what you just said? Orton versus Reigns. Rollins at WrestleMania. But for that Money in the Bank briefcase. And it would be pretty, if it happens, I would love to see Randy Orton win and then cash the Money in the Bank contract in on whoever gets their face beaten up in the Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match and watch Orton walk out of WrestleMania as champion.
So you're saying you want Rollins to cash in at Mania? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would love to see Randy Orton versus Rollins and the winner takes the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then Orton wins the match, takes the briefcase, cashes in, becomes new champion, walks out of WrestleMania as champion.
I'd like Lesnar to retain. I don't see. This title match is just so frustrating. I mean, to be quite honest, it's not interesting. Last year it was interesting because, you know, Brian happened to go to Triple H to get a fight, and he had a dead arm, had early to mid signs of his neck injury. It was like, yes, fight the good fight, awesome. This year it's boring. Like, if any story that needs to be built for WrestleMania, it's definitely the title match. To have Vince come out and say that, you know, the business has changed and we don't need our champion to be there every day, get lost. Like, you need your champion on the show every day, otherwise what are you doing? What, you're going to run the show with the IC title and the US title? Like, it's just awkward and it's frustrating. Just have your champion be the champion and show up, you know. If you want to bring Lesnar back, cool, but don't give him the belt and take him off TV for 4 months because he's got other things to do. Like, give it to someone else and he can come back and do something until he gets back. Like, I don't know. I just, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just an old school guy. I like seeing a champion on the show because that was what I was exposed to as a kid. You know, the Attitude Era, Triple H coming out every week, you know, with the whole McMahon Helmsley era. And the whole, I don't know what they called themselves back then. I can't remember the group. I thought it was called the McMahon Helmsley regime. That was it, McMahon Helmsley regime. That was cool. He came out every week with the title, and it was cool. So, if you're going to give the belt to someone, just make sure they're there. I mean, I'd like Lesnar to retain. I think cashing it in at WrestleMania, I think fans would expect too much. And Money in the Bank has always been a very unexpected element to pro wrestling. So, yeah, it needs to be a surprise.
Definitely not wrong. Dave, you're thinking, I sort of tend to agree. I think the champion needs to be seen and heard. He doesn't have to be on Raw and SmackDown every week, but he needs to be on more than what Brock Lesnar has done in a year. And, I mean, there is rumour that he's not going to re-sign his contract and they're going to give the belt to Roman Reigns. I'm hoping they don't add Bryant somehow into the match. They could always throw him in the Andre the Giant Memorial match. But I wonder, Dave, what's your thinking of the Intercontinental situation? Knowing that that Dean Ambrose is carrying the belt around, he's not even champion, but they're seemingly even considering that it could potentially be Dean Ambrose versus Bad News Barrett versus Dolph Ziggler versus R-Truth.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad match to actually have WrestleMania. I'm actually liking Dean Ambrose and also Bad News Barrett. I think they're two underrated wrestlers that are going around at the moment. And I know that R-Truth's been around for a while. He actually needs to be put back in. I think he's entertaining as well. Just the old little Jimmy thing was actually making me laugh my ass off, you know, all these little things that were going on then. But I think the ship has sailed as far as putting Daniel Bryan in the main event at WrestleMania. I think they had their chance to put Daniel Bryan there if they really wanted him there, but they don't seem to really want to push him there. So I guess we'll have to wait for Daniel Bryan to be actually pushed back into that picture. And I have to agree with Flashband on Randy Orton's situation as well. Just seemed pointless having the authority take him out and then having him come back, and then they're going to have him feud with Seth Rollins in the future anyway. So it just seems that the creative's just trying to play smart pants with the fans and try and act like we don't remember that it was the authority that took Randy Orton out and all that stuff. So, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see how creative actually goes with that. But I think the championship 30-day thing seems to have expired as well. You know, it used to make a big deal about how the champion had to defend his title in 30 days, yet Brock Lesnar seems to have vanished for over 30 days. He'd come back and he's still champion. So I guess it's going to be interesting to see if they actually do keep Brock Lesnar after WrestleMania and how they go with the title. I don't think Roman Reigns is going to be the champion yet. I think it'll probably be down the road until they figure out how they're going to do his promos and stuff, if they're going to put him with Heyman or if they're going to keep him alone and maybe try and reinvent him somehow. But I think the problem with Roman Reigns really is that he doesn't know what his character is. He seems to be trying to figure it out and doesn't know if he's going to be a menacing monster or if he's going to be, you know, like The Rock, or if he's going to be something else. So once they figure that stuff out, maybe his promos will start to actually get better and he'll probably figure out stuff. But I guess I'd like to see Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, and Seth Rollins in the title picture if Lesnar buggers off like he's expected to. Because I think those three are going to be the future of the WWE. And they actually started pushing all three of them, and then they stopped, and then they started again, and they seem to have forgotten that push again. So maybe we'll see them actually do something with that Money in the Bank briefcase soon, because it just seems that, you know, he's held that forever and actually hasn't done anything apart from trying to cash it in a few times and have first Dean Ambrose stop him and then have someone else stop him. So I guess we'll probably see Jon Stewart actually come in and actually cost him the title match or something. blowing the WWE creative at the moment with this little angle going on.
Yeah, definitely not wrong. And I guess the John Cena situation with Rusev, Flashman, you'd sort of think that that's going to lead to another match, and hopefully I would actually like to see John Cena win the United States Championship. But I wonder your thinking, just with what Dave was saying before we get into the John Cena thing, that Roman Reigns seems to be the, I guess, Goldberg of the WWE. When Goldberg was on this great run, he was beating everybody up, he was absolutely kicking everybody's teeth in. He then got injured and went away for a while, but when he came back, it was as though people just saw him as, well, you know, the streak's over, you've only got a few moves, you're not that big on the microphone, and then they had to reinvent his character, which made him, you know, a lot better, and people never forgot what Goldberg was in WCW.
It's sort of what I said before, man. Goldberg wasn't necessarily force-fed to people throughout WCW for him to build his career. It was a different time back then, man. It's hard to relate Goldberg to Roman Reigns because the business was so different back then. They didn't have social media, they didn't have, you know, YouTube, they didn't have, they didn't have smartphones. Even mobile technology back then was still a bit sort of temperamental. So, you know, it's a different time for guys to be exposed. And the main reason, the main outlet for them to be exposed was to be utilized on TV or to have their face slapped on a shirt. Nowadays, you can upload videos, you can have guys, you know, tweet, or you can have guys, you know, Instagram and, you know, put their filters on and, or hashtag no filter and do whatever they want. So it's a different time. But if you're talking about having a character get away, come back, and not be as relevant anymore, Goldberg, you know, it's the dreaded P word, man. You know, WCW was crumbling even before Goldberg got injured and went away. But I can see what you mean with the similarity, though, that Reigns could be falling into the same trap that Goldberg had. The only drastic difference is that Reigns doesn't have a gigantic streak behind him, to which they then capitalized on with their various title wins. Like I said, man, it's all about natural exposure for me. Goldberg was exposed naturally, and then, you know, he just caught fire. They just loved what he did. And the thing was that they used him properly. They're like, okay, the crowd like him. Let's do it properly. Like, let's see what we can do. And, okay, let's try this idea. Okay, cool, that worked. Let's keep going. Reigns is a different kettle of fish. Okay, let's break up the Shield. Let's have Seth Rollins be the sellout. Let's have Dean Ambrose do his own thing. And look at that. Dean Ambrose is doing his own thing. And what's happening? Every time he comes out, he's getting a massive pop. Why? Because they're letting him be himself. They're letting him naturally go out there and do what he needs to do to get over. With Reigns, because he has that Samoan bloodline, and because he has a big size, they feel like they need to sort of, you know, almost give the guy direction, like hold his hand, like, okay, you're going to have a fight with this guy, and off you go, and make sure you say this key term, and get this trending worldwide. Like, it's a little added element to promoting the business rather than getting the character over and established. So, I don't know, and it sort of comes back to, like I said, letting guys naturally be themselves. I mean, okay, you can't just go to the guy, what are you doing? I don't know, what am I doing? Go out there and be yourself. Oh, okay, so yeah, like, it's not the Attitude Era anymore. So you can't have that free reign ability anymore. But in saying that, you can't give pro wrestlers a leash and rein them back too much, because then people get bored and it's not interesting anymore. And sadly, Reigns is starting to have that effect. It's too much, and he's being restrained from being himself to the point that it's being used too much and it's boring. If he was out there and was being used properly, cool. If he was out there and being used naturally, awesome, because he would probably have the same reaction and the same the same interest that Dean Ambrose has, and it would be cool. I mean, Seth Rollins is not necessarily overexposed as much because, you know, he's coming out with the Authority, so he's sort of with people. So it's not just him coming out by himself. It's sort of like, oh, it's these three again. And he's doing things naturally, like he's saying, you can sort of tell he's sort of changed his promo up a bit to suit himself. I mean, with Reigns, it's sort of like, I mean, for God's sakes, why did he say for supper and succotash me 2 weeks ago? I mean, are you serious? This guy's quoting Looney Tunes in his promos and he's the size of a brick house? Like, no, man, no. Take the guy back to the drawing board. Not necessarily his character, but just his personality. Let him be him. He's got the heritage there. I mean, you saw The Rock's face at the Royal Rumble, and everyone's seen the meme of The Rock holding up Reigns' arm at the Royal Rumble, and there's The Rock sort of presenting, you know, this is my nephew or my cousin or whatever it is. He's going like that, and he's like, yeah, you know, this is great, you know, big moment for him. And the crowd's booing, and you see The Rock's face. I mean, go back and watch it if you haven't. You see The Rock's face go, oh, right, cool, all right, so this is where we're at, you know, oh, right, sick. I'll come back to help my, you know, nephew, cousin, whatever it is, and bowing him. Cool. All right, I'm going to get out of here, Roman. Good seeing you. Yep, all right, did my best. It didn't work. So see you later. And he just sort of hugs him, and yep, cool, peace, see you later. You know, you're on your own. But again, having said that, the other side of the coin is that when The Rock started, he was booed out of the building too. So, I don't know, maybe it's an element of time, but for me, I feel like in today's day and age, we're being force-fed Roman, and it's getting to the point now where no one's interested anymore. He needs to be put back in with a group or something, because, you know, the reason The Rock broke out was because he took control of the Nation of Domination, and when he felt it was time, when he naturally progressed, he broke away and became not Rocky Maivia, but he became The Rock. And that was interesting because it was a dramatic, it wasn't like a 180 or 360 in the character change, but it was an extension of what he was because he was allowed to be himself. Now, Roman's been brought up similar in The Shield, so he's got that group element background. It broke up, he didn't control it, it broke up and Seth did his thing, Dean did his thing, and he's sort of got Roman floating around now. So I think Roman just needs to be sat down and is like, alright, cool, what do you want out of your character? And just let him run with it. You know, if he's got that heritage there, if he's got, you know, Rikishi and The Rock and Yokozuna and the Wild Samoans in his blood, then, man, all these guys, you know, they did it on their own. I mean, where else can a Samoan be told he's Japanese and people go, oh, yeah, he's Japanese, you know, he's Yokozuna, okay, cool. And then, I mean, I was shocked finding out that Yokozuna was actually, you know, of Samoan bloodline. I mean, because he just had that element of that character and he made it his own. Roman needs to be taken back to the drawing board, he needs to be sat down, he needs to make this character his own, and he's not having the chance to do that. But he's being force-fed to us, and it's boring now. So, I'm happy for a character to be force-fed if it's natural. You can tell when it's not, and you can tell when the crowd's not into it. And depending on what city they go to, Roman's the best thing we've ever seen, or he's boring like a kettle of fish. So, he needs that element of just being natural, and hopefully he'll generate some interest again. But right now, it's stale, man. And I don't like stale food. I like to be fed wholesome food. So, you know, it's not hard. It's not a hard thing to do. Just let the guy naturally get into his character. And then, you know, completely different. It could be a completely different scenario. Hell, it could change WrestleMania. You know, they got 4 weeks left. And Reigns starts being himself. Who knows? It could generate interest with a title fight. But just needs that natural element, man, and he's not having it right now.
What's your take on the John Cena and Rusev situation? Do you think that that John Cena needs to be that bad good guy, sort of, you know, good guy, but he's still got the attitude, the very first John Cena that we saw ever come out to show up at the WWE when he first attacked Kurt Angle, and then he became this guy with an attitude, and it just made John Cena, I guess, what he was, and I think he should be.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation, because we've been talking about streaks, most notably Goldberg, Taker, and now we're talking about another streak with Rusev. I don't know what they're doing with Cena. Quite honestly, if they're going to put Cena in the US title match, it's not really necessary. If Cena wants to... If they can't really tell Cena to just go home and just make movies again, because he legit is the face of the company, and they don't have anyone that can carry the responsibility and sell as much merchandise as Cena. I mean, you can argue till your face turns blue about Cena's wrestling ability, but from a charitable asset, Cena's a god. I mean, he's done a lot of good things behind the scenes for people. I don't personally enjoy the character as much as I did, as I said, in 2003, 2004. I don't necessarily enjoy seeing him on Monday Night Raw every night because, again, he's being force-fed. The difference is he's being himself, but he's still being force-fed. Too much now. So they're kind of stuck. They can't really send him off to do another movie because they need him there to sell merch and do the charitable things that they do, most notably Make-A-Wish. So they're kind of stuck. And you can't really put him in the title fight again because it's overexposure and it's not a natural progression anymore. It's just like, Cena gets an instant rematch. Oh, okay, awesome. So, coming back to Rusev, you know, Rusev, when he started at, you know, I think the Rumble, was it this year or maybe it was last year, getting his debut there, yeah, he made the character his own and they added Lana and it was cool. Because it's something different and it's current. You know, it's got the whole, you know, with the whole thing that's going on with Russia and the Ukraine and that coming over to here. Oh, everyone goes home and watches the news at night. Oh, that evil Russia. Oh, there's a Russian character. Oh, how dare they show Putin? Like, people, it's a modern day character and people can relate to that because it's happening in the real world. So, from that point of view, his character is naturally progressing purely for the fact that it's modern and it's current. Now, you bring the streak into play. You can tell from a business point of view that they're going to go into this, and as much as I don't want to say it, they're probably going to end Rusev's streak at Mania. And it's going to be pointless. Because why? Why does Cena need the US title? Why does he need that again? It's not 2004. He's had a hell of a lot of title reigns. He doesn't really need the other one. There needs to be a US title division, and it's filled with guys like Sheamus, with guys like, you know, Ziggler, you know, those mid-carders that have the ability to become main event guys, but if they have the belt on them, they can still carry that division to a certain extent, and when the time is right, have them drop the belt and go on for the bigger one, which is what they've done in the past. So, I don't know, maybe it'll be a good thing. Thinking about it now and having said that, maybe it'd be a good thing for Rusev to lose at Mania, but as long, it'd be a good thing only as long as they have a long-term goal for him. They can't do what they've done with Taker and just drop the streak and then not do anything with it. And they can't just have Rusev lose the US title, have his first break of his streak, and then not do anything with it. Because that's 2 years in a row that they've broken a streak, and 2 years in a row they wouldn't have done anything with that loss. And I feel that for Rusev as a character, if he was to lose at Mania and that for that streak to end, people wouldn't necessarily stop caring. The reason they're interested is because it's current. The reason they're interested is because he hasn't lost. They want to see him lose, but doing it at Mania, might be career suicide. Not to say he couldn't lose at, it's not Backlash anymore, I don't know what it's called now, Fatal 4-Way Bonanza, I don't know, they've got so many pay-per-view names now. For him to lose at any other pay-per-view would be maybe a bit better. His character wouldn't die royally and be seen around the world, you know, and have 75,000 people just go, oh, well, that was Rusev, we had a good run, yeah, good on you. Alright, USA all the way, we beat Russia. And so, I don't know, I don't think they should do it at Mania. Not to say that he shouldn't have his streak eventually broken, but like I said, if it's going to be broken, give it a reason to break and give him something to do straight afterwards. Cena, I don't know, I mean, I don't know, Cena at Mania, you know, you go into it and you can just expect that it's going to come out with him on top. But again, why? Why does Cena need the US title? Why does he need that belt? What's he going to do with it? Run around and what? Who's he going to, that's the thing, who's he going to lose the US title to? Who's going to beat Cena for the US title? Like, if Cena's going up against guys like Orton and Bryan and Triple H and Taker for the World Championship, who is he going to drop the US title to? He's not going to drop it to the Ryder, he's not going to drop it to Ziggler. like, you know, it's I mean, he's definitely not going to drop to Ryback, I hope. So, I don't know, man. It's strange. That's a strange division to be in right now. So yeah, from a fan's point of view, I hope they don't kill Rusev at WrestleMania. And I hope that they give someone else a shot with the US title. I mean, not so long ago, there was a photo that was leaked out, and I think it was leaked out by Lana, and it was a pre-war photo that she put on, I think it was Instagram, and it was of the European title. Now, most people listening, and probably yourselves as fans, remember the European title from back in the Attitude Era days. Now, how cool would that be? To sort of, and what a kick in the face to America, like I said, going back to modern day stories and having this guy be relevant and current, what a kick in the ass that would be if they're like, your disgusting US title is you know, it smells and it's such a burden to carry around to all your disgusting airports, and you know, we want to bring back this belt that has integrity and has meaning to the world, and they bring out the European title. Oh my God, can you imagine the people in the crowd? They want to jump the fence and flog him. But that's what's interesting. It keeps it current. It's like, you know, they want to see him get beat. So, again, as long as there's a purpose to his loss, then cool. But, nah, man, I don't want to see him lose at Mania. But that's not to say I don't want to see him lose, so long as he has a story, and so long as it's to a guy that actually needs the belt and needs the exposure. Cena doesn't need it, so I don't know what they're doing in regards to that. But I mean, I'll watch, but it's just very confusing. You sit there and scratch your head. You scratch your head going, okay, yeah, what? Why? Yeah, that's a big question mark on the card for me at WrestleMania. Like, what is this match doing here? Like, I don't know, that Paige drop against Rusev, you know, we're talking stupid match. Like, it's just... Yeah, if it has some clarity in the next 4 weeks, cool. If it doesn't, alright, you know, okay, cool, this match is happening, sweet. I might go and have a toilet break for that match, you know what I mean? Like, it's a nothing match, because there just hasn't been a proper setup. So get Cena just going, oh yeah, I'm going to fight Rusev now, because I'm not really doing anything, and I can't leave. So, if they've got a long-term goal for Rusev, cool. If not, then... And I don't know, I like seeing his character now. I didn't to begin with, but I like it now, because it's a big powerhouse, and it's Russian, and you know, it's modern, so... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, and I just hope they did the right thing.
Dave, what's your thinking on the John Cena-Rusev situation? I mean, as Flashman pointed out, if John Cena wins the United States Championship, he's really got nobody to offload it to. But in saying that, I like the idea that if Lana was to do that, bring back the European Championship, that would rattle the cages in America as we know it. There would be hell. I reckon there'd be an American tank sitting out the front of each venue as DX did. There would be riots.
Yeah, I'm still trying to work out where they're going to go with this and why they'd have John Cena fight for the US title when clearly he's a main eventer and all the fans want to see him fighting for the title, well, most of them anyway, but it just seems strange that they'd have him as a contender for the US title and how they're going to get rid of the title from Cena without him actually losing it's going to be interesting as well. But if he does win the title, I'm expecting Lana to come out with the European title, and there probably being a sort of unification sort of match come whatever pay-per-view down the track, but I would have thought they would have started that earlier, you know, have the United States title versus European title at WrestleMania maybe, but I really don't see what they're going to do with this, and they've got two wrestlers, one that's built up a lot of heat over the last few months, and they've got John Cena, who... most people would expect to keep on winning, so it's just hard to see what they're going to do. They're going to have to try and figure out something if they put it to WrestleMania, so it's just going to be a little creative mess for the creative team to actually clean up, but I still don't get why they're going to put the title on Cena if they do put the title on him, so that's just going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. I think that maybe he'd hand the title off to someone else, you know, just do a handoff rather than losing the title, but then it just seems to diminish the title's value a little bit. So I guess Crater's got an idea for that, but I really don't know what it is. It's not like it's going to benefit the scenery much, like Flash Band said. So it just seems to be a bizarre little conundrum that WWE's got at the moment.
You're definitely not wrong. And it would be pretty cool if they could somehow work it out so that it works right. But Flashman, it seems like that... it would be a pretty cool thing to have a European American unification title. I'm not sure what they would call it. But in saying that, something has to be done now. They just can't leave it like it is.
What was the question again, man? It sort of cut out for a bit there.
With regards to Rusev and John Cena, they can't, as you pointed out, they just can't leave it like it is. It's a stupid situation to have John Cena in, and it's pointless. But I guess the other question is, Sheamus's return is evident.
I don't know. Sheamus needs something to do. Like anyone upon the return, at the moment, the WWE keep bringing these guys back, and it's like, oh, it's all really good for the first week, and then the next week they don't do anything, but they don't really have progression, they don't really have sort of like a goal, they don't really have something to feud with. If you're gonna bring someone back in pro wrestling, have them come back and have them build a feud almost instantly with someone. That's just rule number one. You can't just bring a guy back and have him beat up some jobber or some, mid-card that's not doing anything. And, how cool is it that insert name here is back? Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, buy a shirt. Next week you come out and you're bored again because he's not doing anything. Or he's beating up the same guy. And you're like, okay. And then nowadays it's almost like you have to wait 4 to 6 weeks for someone else to go, oh, I hate Sheamus. Oh, who's this idiot? Yeah, you've just wasted 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah, Sheamus come back. Alright, do the squash match, beat up someone, fella, awesome. And then have someone come out at the end of his match, and just talk shit. And it's like, oh, cool, awesome. I apologize for my funny. Talk sugar. It's interesting because straight away it's like, oh, why is this guy not liking Sheamus? Alright, cool, we'll tune in next week and see what that problem is. So, yeah, it's cool that Sheamus is coming back. Awesome. He is needed in that locker room right now. As long as he's got something cool to do. We talked about the US title. I mean, hell, there you go. European title. You got Russia and you got, Scottish? Irish? Irish. He's Irish. That's cool. That would be a smart idea, much like Dave said. Have Cena go, what if Cena was to get the US belt and Rusev was to bring the European title and there was a unification process, or, I'm getting rid of the US title and I'm going to bring the European title, and Cena comes out of Mania with the US title on his chest and Rusev's got the European and Rusev wins and unifies the belt. That way his win has legitimacy. The streak doesn't end. Cena lost. It's like, but it's okay because, oh, cool, we've got a new belt, so it's not as a heavy loss as what we thought. Again, this doesn't have to be at Mania, but if it is, then it's a lot smoother transition instead of, oh, Rusev won, Cena lost, on board. Oh, Rusev won. Oh, now we got a European title. Oh, cool. I'm gonna tune in on Monday and see what we're gonna do with it. Oh, Sheamus doesn't like Russia. Oh, but they're both from Europe. Oh, this is awesome. So there you go. That's a story in itself. So maybe Rusev can do that with Sheamus when he comes back. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to Sheamus coming back. I just want him to. I just want him to do, be able to do something. That's it. Like, I just want him to have something to do.
Dave, what's your take on Sheamus? I know we're almost pushing into the last part of the show, but Sheamus is an interesting one. Injured, he's now coming back. As Flashman pointed out, he needs something to do, so they've got to do something with him.
Yeah, that's the thing, and I guess if they can throw him into the Cena Rusev feud as well, maybe. But I just don't know where he's going to fit into the whole scheme of things as he comes back. So they just need to find something for him to do. And I didn't actually thought that one. So they're just thinking of hyping him up to come back. And the fans want to see him come back, but they've just really got nothing for him to actually do when he comes back. That seems to be a wasted return, really. Unless they've got some massive plan for him, like a big feud that he's going to come back and jump into. But just seems that the hype in his return to try and get the ratings to go back up a little bit, and then probably forget about him in the next few weeks, and then we'll just have to wait for the next return, and then they'll do the same thing. Just seems to be the thing for the WWE at the moment. They push these stars up the ladder for a while, and then they forget about who they are, and that, then they push someone else, and they do the same thing. It's just been the same thing for the last 4 years at least. So I think it's time that someone in creative actually stopped and figured out what they're going to do with some of these guys and actually push them further than they're actually doing, instead of pushing them for a few months and they forget about them. I mean, it happened to Ziggler, it's happened to Swagger, it's happened to Sheamus in a way, it's happened to Ryder for one back in the time when he was getting a push. He got a push towards the US title and then he vanished off the face of the earth because he managed to get his own fame on the internet. So it's just a bunch of superstars that have actually gotten their pushes and been looked at as being the next superstars and in the title picture, and then they just vanish into the mid cards and they vanish off to main event or, you know, superstars or back down in development or something, or they get released. So it's just time for them to actually figure out what they've got to do and then bring them back when they've got something they've got planned, instead of just rushing someone back into the on the Raw and SmackDown just because they've got a name attached to them.
So Dave, you're pretty much saying that Sheamus shouldn't be... do you think maybe they shouldn't bring him back until maybe after Mania and holding off on him?
Well, that'd probably be a better idea. They've got two main feuds they're trying to start up. They've got Rollins trying to fight John Stewart and everyone else on the face of the earth. They've got Randy Orton possibly going to feud with Rollins after WrestleMania, which they're probably going to push for that, or into WrestleMania. They've got the Sting one they're trying to push along. They've got Wyatt trying to call Undertaker at every chance he's got. So maybe they need to invest in those feuds and then worry about Sheamus after WrestleMania, where they've got a clear idea on how they're going to bring him back and what they've got planned for him, instead of just rushing him back in because they need somebody to maybe jump to someone or just have someone to wrestle matches. I mean, they've got enough mid-carders there to cover Sheamus, and they don't need Sheamus for a while yet, so it'll be probably a good idea just to wait and see how these feuds pan out heading into WrestleMania and maybe come up with something creative for him in the meantime.
Flashman, what do you think? Do you think maybe, like Dave said, they should just hold off on Sheamus?
I don't know. I'm thinking they'll probably bring him back after WrestleMania. A lot of, as we've come to see over the years, a lot of returns happen after WrestleMania. So I think they'll probably bring him back after that. So I don't know if that's enough time to hold him away from TV. It probably is. But yeah, like, my only concern is it doesn't matter when they bring him back. It's just a case of if he has something to do when he comes back. So yeah, that's just one of my concern. You know, it's all about, you don't want to have him come back and not have anything to do. At the same time, you don't want to rush him back and have nothing to do. So give him a reason to come back. You know, don't suddenly come back and be like, oh, cool, here I am, and now I'm just sitting in the locker room and doing nothing. So give him a reason to come back, and the fan, it'll be better. It'll be better that way. So, yeah, I hope he just has something to do. But if we're talking about timing, it'll probably be after WrestleMania. It's too much of a rush to bring him back like next week and go, oh, WrestleMania. So that's probably eating him up, not to get the old WrestleMania paycheck, but you know, it's just injuries happen, this is just the way it is. So I predict that maybe the Monday Night Raw after Mania he'll be back, and yeah, and we'll just have to tune in and see what he does. So
This is true. It's going to be interesting to watch what happens with WrestleMania and of course with the events coming up. Riot City Wrestling event happening this weekend. You have March the 14th, Best of the Best QCW here in Queensland. Of course, the wrestlers entered so far are Australian Wolf, Tim Cade, Kozolowski, His Royal Tenus, Jesse Daniels, Rip Riley and Lucas Gold. I'm sure there's going to be many other wrestlers that are going to be added to that, so it's going to be interesting to watch. But with I guess 15 minutes to go, Flashman, I want to talk wrestling characters with you. Now, being that you're somebody that I guess has been in the wrestling circuit for a while, the hardest thing that a new wrestler finds is knowing what character he wants to be. Do they want to be a good guy? Do they want to be a bad guy? Do they want to be somebody who talks on the mic? Do they want to be somebody who doesn't talk on the mic? I guess in that, the hardest thing is knowing who you want to, well, knowing what character you want to be, and can you build that character to be a real life character person?
See, character work for me when I train guys is probably the last thing I'll get them to start thinking about, because you want to know that when you're putting them in the ring, that they can do everything that you've been training them. And you don't want the character ideas to go to their head and they'd be all focused about what shirt I'm going to wear and what music I'm coming out to and what crazy hairstyle can I have and, well, I wonder if I can, you know, pull a silly face. And if they start getting all wrapped up in what they want to do, that necessarily isn't about wrestling. It starts becoming about what can my character do rather than, oh, here's all the moves I've been taught for the last 6 months. I'm not doing that because I'm too concerned about when I could pull this in the face, or I'm too concerned about showing off my jacket that I got all done up. So character work in terms of training usually for me would be the last thing that I get my guys to look at. But if you're speaking about characters and how to make it, you know, transition over to pro wrestling, I've had the chance throughout my wrestling career so far to portray various different characters, and, you know, some kooky, some crazy, some that don't talk, some that do talk, you know, and done various impersonations of WWE superstars, most notably Undertaker. And, you know, it's all about, like I said before, giving it that natural feel. The crowd's very smart, and I said this to the trainees the other night, the crowd's very smart, they can pick up when you don't feel natural in the ring. And when you don't feel natural in the ring, they're not interested. But when you feel at home in the ring, when you feel natural as to what you're doing, then the crowd's going to be interested, and they're going to want to watch what you do in the ring, and hopefully watch what you do in your career. Now, characters can be created from all sort of various different sorts of pop culture inspired elements. For example, when I had my kooky, crazy character, I took elements of how gorillas, little baby gorillas, interact with people around them and their surroundings. And I took how, you know, young children and how young toddlers behave when they're in a new environment, or when they're, you know, interacting with, you know, new toys, or sort of, you know, have paint on their face, or are trying a new meal. And it's all very curious, and it's all very, but at the same time, it's all very sort of like goldfish memory. It's like, oh, I've got this new pen, and oh, it's the best thing ever, and oh, but what's that over there? And 5 seconds later, they're onto something else, and the pen is long gone. So you can add little things like that. So my character was kooky and crazy, and I'd interact with a fan and be like, you know, and making different noises. And I just by chance, or because I wanted to, 5 seconds later, I just look over at something else, and I go and interact with a different fan. And I just forget about the fan that I had before, because my character was kooky and crazy, and he has a 5-second memory gland. So there are different elements that you can take in from pop culture, and various pop culture. It doesn't have to be just, you know, just gorillas and children. It can be different things. menacing pop culture in 2 minutes of life. But, I mean, you can take different elements from life and pop cultures and apply them to create them your own. But the thing is that you got to know that when it does come time to choose a character, one of my fellow wrestlers, her name's Brandy Alexander, once said to me when I was first started training, she said, and I use this quote all the time with my trainees, I say to them, a character is either yourself turned up to 11, or it's the complete polar opposite of yourself. So, for me, if I'm, you know, I'm naturally fun, nice, caring person who's, you know, got a good personality, and they tell jokes, and have fun, it's all well and good, ha ha ha. The flashbang character, bam, 11. That thing is just vibrant. It is just, you know, holy crap, let's go, run around, let's have fun, yeah, sweet, you know, absolute kick-ass time. If I was to be a heel, which I have done against, as I've been speaking about this entire podcast, Ricky Rembrandt, flash as a heel, even though my size is probably going to be against me, so I can't have necessarily a heel run, but if I were to act heel on the show, 180% reversal. Just complete ignorance of people, just don't want ignoring people, just don't want to associate, just hate being there, want to go home, who is this guy I'm fighting, oh, this is boring, you know, just complete 180. So, there's just little tips and tricks that you can take and make them your own. But I always say that to my trainees, you know, it's either yourself turned up to 11 or it's a complete polar opposite. So, yeah, like that's where I come from with training people, but you can take, like I said before, you can take elements from, you know, everyday life and pop culture, and to some extent, you can take personality traits of certain pro wrestlers. Not carbon copy, like I wouldn't expect someone to come out to the ring and be like, you know, Dave 316 says I should kick your ass. Like, oh, okay, yeah, it's Austin. Like, you know, you don't want to, you know, pretty much carbon copy things that have already been established, but tweaking them and making them your own, as I've said before, all about having that natural element, is something that they can't be taught. You know, it comes down to what you feel is going to work best for you. And, like, we can give you all the tools as trainers under the sun, but finding that character in that niche that really resonates with you is something that you've got to find. And, you know, you might start off with a terrible character. I mean, for God's sakes, the Ringmaster, and Rocky Maivia, and Taker when he was, part of the original Skyscrapers. Who else is there? Triple H when he was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. The Blue Blood, which I kind of liked, by the way, but it was a terrible character. You know, he had this weird British accent, and he was from Greenwich. What's happening here? Sting's first character was, look at it now and you go, what is that? You know, Surfer Sting with the blonde, you know, mohawk and coming out and high-fiving everyone. Like, yeah, rad, man. Like, you look at it now and go, what is happening? And I'm sure there's been sort of various other characters that I can't think of off the top of my head that started out like nothing you would have thought of and they became, you know, global superstars. So, in saying that, the character you come up with originally might not necessarily be the character you finish with at the end of your career. And because we all go through different changes and tweaks and modifications, and that's just part of natural human progressions. But it's always good as a character, somewhere down the line, I'm not talking like the second show come out and I'm a heel now and I've got, oh, you can tell because my pants are black and they were blue last month. It's like, no, it's not how it works. But somewhere down the line, naturally, like all pop culture icons and entertainers, you do have to constantly reinvent yourself. I mean, Madonna, and most currently, Lady Gaga, they are constantly reinventing their image and their look. I mean, who remembers Lady Gaga's Bad Romance video, you know, with the bra catching fire and then her meat dress and then her at the Oscars? She looks like $1 million at the Oscars, probably worth much more than that, but she looked $1 million with, you know, the big white ball gown and looked great. And Madonna, how relevant and how current is Madonna these days? She's still in the charts and she's still making music. Might be terrible, but she's still, like, you know, she's still in the mainstream eye. And pro wrestlers are the same. Obviously not to that lavish extent, like you're going to change your entire look one day, but natural progression. Like, you know, it's all about adding different elements and different things. So, but over time, like, you're not going to sort of come out with different pants each and every week, because what are you doing? But you know, it's just sort of creating those little nooks and crannies to make the character its own, and then when the time comes and it's feeling a bit stale, the promoter will probably tell you. The promoter will probably say to you, right, cool, your character needs to be changed up, and you sit down at the drawing board and you come up with ideas, and you find out a time to, you know, start doing these ideas, start trying out these ideas in front of a live crowd. If it works, cool, alright, let's run with it. If not, okay, that idea didn't work, let's see what else we can do with this character. And that's how character progression should normally be. So that's sort of, you know, it's a very higgledy-piggledy answer. There's lots of elements there you can sort of break down and dissect. Thank God this is being recorded on Mix It Up Radio. So you can always pause it and write it down and go back and listen to it again. But yeah, from day one, just remember heading into your first character or thought process. Think, just grab ideas from anywhere, whether it's, you know, like I grabbed ideas from gorillas and the way toddlers act. And, you know, just write down ideas, you know, you can do, and characters, ideas you can do. Whether it's a witch doctor, or whether it's a mechanic, or, maybe they're just everyday jobs, and that's not necessarily going to be your end character at the end of the day, but they're starting points, and everyone needs to have a starting point. You can't just go out there and be like, I'm, you know, Otto von Xavier, and I'm from Transyl Bugenstein. Oh yeah, what is that? And my finisher is a suplex. Okay. Like, make this Otto guy your own, you know? Call him something, give him a reason to do what he needs to do. So, yeah, it all comes down to just having that starting point, finding those natural elements that can resonate with you, that don't make you feel awkward in the ring, and making sure that, is the character myself turned up to 11, or is it going to be the polar opposite? Now, you mentioned about being heel or face. That's not really a decision that you can make going into your first wrestling match or your first character. A lot of the time, the crowd will tell you what you are. The promoter will give you an idea. They'll say, oh yeah, look, down the track, we might make you heel, or we might make you face. But that comes later. Your first match and your first couple of matches out there are going to be very generic. You're going to be very generic, and, you know, a lot of the times guys start out as good guys. And if you get booed, you go back to that drawing board we're talking about, go back to that starting point, and start making those changes, and you start capitalizing on those boos. Alright, cool, I went out there, you know, I'm being this generic new guy, hot in the scene, bam, bam, how's it going, ladies, high five, boo, boo. Oh, okay, well, I finished my match, and I got booed. I wonder why that was. Oh, was my match terrible? No, your match wasn't terrible. They just don't like that character. Alright, cool, well, let's change it. If they're going to boo me, give me a reason to boo me. It's, you know, they give me a reason to hate me. Oh, cool, they love to hate me. Oh, this works awesome now. Somewhere down the track, some guy might start cheering you because they love seeing you be an evil, vindictive, you know, evil guy to these young wrestlers. Oh, yeah, kick his ass, yeah. Oh, cool, all right, well, we might think about making you a face now. Or we might think about having another face to come up or another heel to take you out and give that transition to giving you a reason to be a good guy. So, you know, there's different elements there, you know, that starts getting into the psychology and progression of characters, but just make sure that when you start, you have those elements there that you've written down that you can do, that are natural to you, like, and you can have really stupid ideas, man, because they're all starting points. Trust me, the more ideas you have, the easier it is. And don't feel like any idea is stupid. I hate trainers that say, oh, that's a stupid idea, because it's not insulting you as a wrestler, it's insulting you as a person, it's calling you stupid. And that's not a positive environment to be a part of at all. Like, I seriously cringe whenever I hear any trainer at all call someone or some idea stupid. It's not right. You know, this is entertainment. This is meant to be fun. And no, you don't need to do that to someone. So write down as many ideas as you have. You might have 50 ideas and you'll pick 4. Doesn't matter. The point is you had those 50 ideas and it's all, you know, you've been proactive about it. And then from those 5 ideas, you start going, okay, can this one work with me? Can this one not work with me? Okay, I'm more out of these 5. I could probably do this one a lot more natural than, say, I could do this guy, because I've had exposure to this guy's character. You know, I've had exposure to, like I said, an example, a mechanic. Or I've had exposure to a guy being a mechanic. Or I've had exposure to a guy being a clown. Like, I've been to the circus. And I've seen that in my life. So I know what is expected of that said character. You don't want to go out there and be like, oh, I'm a 17-year-old surfer. Oh, have you ever done surfing before? Oh, no, but I've watched it. Yeah, well, there's a difference between actually replacing a character that's doing something, you know, as another sport, to as there is as doing a character that's also another entertainer, or doing something that's actually utilized in everyday life that people can relate to. Not everyone is going to be exposed to surfing, but a lot more people are going to be exposed to, say, seeing a car mechanic, or taking, you know, a certain element of people are going to be exposed to seeing a clown. But then again, clowns and mechanics are more exposed in everyday life than, say, the possibility of a surfer, or, you know, or some sort of guru, or something like that. So it's always, you've always got to find that natural element that you can do, and that you feel can resonate within you, so it doesn't feel awkward when the time comes for you to get in the ring. And like I said, your first character could be the worst, you know, idea ever, but it's all about getting you naturally prepared and naturally feeling comfortable in the ring. And then when the time comes, and the crowd's either booing or cheering, you can reinvent yourself. Not a 180 character change, but adding little, you know, adding little things to make it your own. So, yeah, that's sort of where the character work does come from. But just make sure that when you're doing it, you know, remind things that feel natural to you. Don't force yourself to be something you're not, because the crowd will tell and they just won't care. And you'll just feel deflated, and it'll just become, oh, I've been really bad, and that was terrible. And then you won't be as motivated as you are. So don't ever feel like you've got to force yourself to be in that ring. Like, force yourself to do something in that ring to try and, you know, oh, well, I feel awkward, oh, I'm going to do this, oh, the crowd's not reacting, oh, and it just becomes this awkward rigor mortis cluster mess. So, yeah, don't force yourself to be something you're not. So just, yeah, take time to think about different ideas, and yeah, and then you'll just eventually, the time will come where you'll just make it your own. So it's all, and at the end of the day, man, have fun. Like, have fun doing it. You know, don't feel like this is, you know, some sort of lecture or some sort of homework lesson. Have fun doing it. You know, it's what wrestling should be about. Too many people have forgotten that, man. Too many people have forgotten how to have fun in wrestling. It's sad. So yeah, just make sure that whatever you do, you're doing it for fun. And character work should definitely be one of the things in pro wrestling that is meant to be a lot of fun.
I guess with that sort of thing, the hardest, I guess, other than building the character that everybody wants to be, and they always seem to want to mimic somebody else, but I guess then the name of that character is also another biggie. I mean, it just, you know, thinking of a mixture of different names is a hard thing to then connect, not only just with yourself, but a name that nobody ever forgets.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, the name, yeah, like, people have a lot of name changes. Like I said, the character you start with might not necessarily be the character you finish with. I mean, Island Boy Sai, that's how I know him, and he's changed his name, just, I think, most recently. I'm sure there's been guys down the line that have had various name changes. I remember a guy I started with, Mystery, changed his name to Kid Extreme, and then he became Turbo Wolverine, and then he became, you know, something else. And, but the difference between his characters was that, yes, they were him, and they're his moves, but each character had subtle difference, and, you know, they weren't just like, oh, and, you know, I'm this guy now, or I'm this guy now. Like, there were reasons as to why his name was changing. So, yeah, when it comes to having a name, like I said, the first name you come up with, when you look back on it and go, oh, God, what was I thinking? Oh, that's a terrible name. So, yeah, it's good to have a strong name, yes, I agree, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be your final name. So, yeah, it's all about working out what is going to work best for you. And like I said, the crowd will tell you if that name works or if that name doesn't work. And that's going to be your best judge. You know, the promoter and all your mates in the locker room and all your friends go, oh, yeah, what a cool name, and crack open a beer, and, oh, yeah, oh, bloody King Puncher. Oh, can't wait to see you on Saturday night. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah, King Puncher, I'm going to make a sign. You get out there and you go, ladies and gentlemen, come around, King Puncher. What? The crowd's dead. and your mates are like, "Hey, King Puncher," but going to the ring, yeah, your mates are supporting you, but the crowd's like, "What?" And you know, it's just, you know, it's just that natural progression that I'm talking about. So yeah, like, think of names that, again, more starting points. Create a list. Different names you want to try. You know, different names work for different characters. You're not going to be called King Puncher and you're going to walk out there as some sort of guru character. No, of course not. But, you know, if you're going to look like some sort of roughneck, then maybe you are. Or something like that. Like, you wouldn't call Mickey Too Fat, you know, some weird name. Like, you know, you wouldn't call him, like, I don't know, Dance Master or something, you know what I mean? Because it's like, what? Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, that getting that character image right and then giving it a name is probably the two steps that you want to work out first. So as long as you've got a character idea, then you can start thinking about a name. You don't want to have a name first and then start thinking about an idea afterwards, because nothing will fit. And you think it will fit, you go out to the ring and it'll just be, oh, okay. So always have that image down first, like the various sort of starting points to those characters, you know, like those different ideas. And then when you sort out a character image, so like a mechanic or something like that, then you start working out a name. Don't try and rush and do everything at once, because like I said, the character work is probably going to be the last thing you're going to be thinking about, because you need to get anyone that's training needs to get those basic moves down packed, needs to feel comfortable in the ring in terms of wrestling. Then when they feel comfortable in terms of wrestling, then we can start talking about the character. Because that's what's important. What's important is the pro wrestling aspect. Because you need that. You need that to be not only confident, but safe in the ring. So, yeah, just have that image first, and then work out of it. But priority one is learning the basics and learning the moves. And to be safe. So once you got that done, then it's the three-step program. Done that, character image, character name. And then the crowd will be your best judge, man. They'll let you know what they want. Always listen to the crowd.
Definitely not wrong on that. Yeah, you're not wrong. Dave, now, I guess taking it from a different perspective, you were always a big wrestling fan of the websites where they'd have their, you know, bloggers as wrestlers and they'd make different characters, they'd add different elements, but it was all done by computers and whatnot. And the biggest thing that you've always enjoyed is writing storylines and writing characters into different, I guess wrestling federations, but worldwide internet places is where you'd find them.
Yeah, it's pretty much just role-playing wrestling characters and just writing up, you know, promos that are considered role-players, and you just post them towards your character. And what you do is you actually give the opponent something to actually latch onto and actually write back to you, and then you just go from there. I used to always pick the tortured characters that were very dark and sort of like a cross between Raven, Sting, and Vampiro. Just mixed them all together and came up with a character, and that stuck for the last few years, and then just kept on doing that. And then I downloaded a game, Extreme Warfare Revenge, where you can actually book your own wrestling company, and then I just started writing my own little game thing for a forum and just writing up little wrestling shows and going from there. So I've actually written, I think it was 53 pages one day of a wrestling show, just different promos and different situations and different storylines and all that stuff. So it got fun, but it got tiring when you did it for like three different shows in the whole week, so it just get a bit tiresome, but yeah, it was fun doing it for a while.
Would you ever consider taking any of those characters into live events if you could?
Yeah, well, I think that one of them would fit possibly the Circus of Tragedy if I ever went to Queensland. It's just, you know, actually getting involved and actually training to be a manager or something like that. Just not having the ability to actually go and do that. But, you know, one day it could happen.
Okay, it would be definitely interesting. I mean, many people, and as you said, Flashman, the last thing is character building and finding your own feet and knowing that the crowd will pick where you as a bad guy or good guy. But what about those times when you actually choose to jump ship or to be one or the other? And I guess the crowd, whether the crowd likes it or not, they have to, in the end, deal with it. And I wonder, especially as somebody who's got a character and is already in the wrestling game, that is that something that you feed off, or do you look at it and go, have I made the right decision? Was this the right thing to do?
In terms of what? Like, you, I couldn't understand what the actual question
character choice. Based on character choice. So if you chose to be a bad guy, even though the crowd didn't like it, would you persist with that character, or would you go, okay, the crowd don't acknowledge it, there's nothing I can do with it, so I might as well return to what I know works?
Yeah, I mean, from a personal aspect, nowadays, you know, I could probably tell whether something was working or whether it wasn't working in the ring for myself, more so than I could in the past. But I think what you're asking is more from not a personal decision, but probably more from a business decision. You know, what's best for business, and if the promoter sees you out there trying your hardest and the crowd's just not liking it, and you know, you're trying to get cheered and getting booed, or trying to get booed and getting cheered, then, you know, maybe try something different. It's such a hard question to sort of answer with one sort of set definition, but I guess you just got to find that niche that just suits everyone's look. I mean, everyone looks different, and it's just about finding that character that can just resonate your look. For me, though, I don't know. I think regardless of what character I portrayed, I think my size is a draw. Like, people are interested because of my size. Like, I'm not the standard height and or weight for my age. So I think going into every battle, my mindset for the crowd is to show them like a David versus Goliath battle, where it's like, oh, this little guy becomes the big guy. Oh, so awesome. He's so interesting. Ooh. Oh, it's been fun. So for me, it's probably from the different end of the spectrum that it's just a case of, okay, this isn't working, I'm going to change. But in terms of look, my character has changed from what I originally wore. I mean, when I first started, man, I personally had no idea of what I wanted to do as a character. I mean, I came out in a t-shirt and jeans, and I just so happened to have a big red jacket that, when I zipped it up all the way, had a monkey in a flash suit, and had the Flash logo on the back, and I ended up finding a shirt that had the hologram of the design from the jumper on a shirt. I just called myself the Flash. Well, I didn't call myself that. The promoter that I was with called me the Flash Man. No, it's because I said I wanted to be called Flash, and he's like, oh, we already had one of those guys come through, we call you Flash Man. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And then that's where the superhero element to my character came through. You know, it was the adding man into the end of Flash, like Batman, Superman, Aqua, terrible. So when I did Flash Man, it was more like to think of, okay, it's inspired by the Flash character, and I'm an underdog. Where every fight I go into, it's going to look like, okay, yeah, he's not going to win, but adding that name onto the end of the name and having that superhero style, it adds to the character. And over time, I made it my own, and my character looked changed, and, you know, I got the red pants that I wear, and, you know, added different things and tried different things. So, yeah, man, it's all about, I think, it depends from the original question of when is it time to sort of change it up. There isn't a specific time. Like, there isn't sort of like a time element, like, alright, it's been 4 months and you're a big guy. Yeah, you're sort of getting chairs. We'll give another 4 months. Like, it's not like a rental agreement or something. I think it's just, it comes down to what's going to be best for the company itself and what's going to be beneficial for you as a character going forward. So, again, I think it's just a matter of keeping an ear to the crowd. If they're not picking up what you're putting down, then, you know, try and do something different. And if that's not working, then go to 180. And if that's still not working, reinvent the character. Try something else. Go away for a couple of months. You know, learn some new, learn something different. Come back and try it again. It's just, like I said, man, it's all about finding what works best for you. And that, and sometimes it's harder than what originally is intended to be, or sometimes it's very easy. You know, it's just, it's pretty much up, it's up to the crowd, it's up to you, it's just a game of chance, what works and what doesn't. And yeah, sometimes you might get lucky, you might score out the first time, oh, this character's great, oh yeah, this guy's awesome, sweet. Sometimes you might not, sometimes if you go out there, it just doesn't work. So it really comes down to, you know, I don't know, it just really comes down to what's going to work best for you, and it's going to resonate well with the crowd. And there's no way to tell that until you, you go out there and work with the crowds, and they'll tell you what's up. So if they're not liking what you're doing, change it. If they're still not liking what you're doing, change the character, and just go from there. So yeah, at the end of the day, just give the crowd what they want, and that's, they'll be happy with it. So there isn't actually a specific time to when you change things up. But you know, if it's from a financial standpoint, then you know, that's a different question altogether. It comes down to the promoter wanting to change you up for the sake of, you know, financial rating. So there's different elements, man. But yeah, it's, you know, from a personal point of view, man, there isn't a time that you sit there in the locker room and go, "I'm going to change my character next month." There's no thought process like that. It really becomes a long term process of, okay, I'm getting bored, and I sit down and talk with creative, and talk with the owner, and we change things up, and we come to the show, and look at something different, and try that, and see if that works. So, like I said, man, it's all about changing things to find out what's that little look and cranny that works for your image, and you'll find it. It's just a matter of finding what works best. So, you can't put a time on finding out what works best, man. It happens when it happens, man.
It's definitely going to be interesting. I mean, I did have first training session on Monday and did a mixture of rolls and bumps and had Ricky Rembrandt train me in obviously protecting self and doing all that sort of stuff, which was great. And while it was only not even scratching the surface, as he put it, it makes you want to go back for more. And now the QCW are going to have an open training session. Hopefully they get more newbies. Because I don't want to feel like I'm out of place as the only newbie at the moment. While it doesn't bother me, it means that, you know, you're getting one-on-one training, which is great, because you learn a lot more, you gain a lot more than having to, you know, deal with that group. But in saying that, it'll be interesting to see what unfolds over the next coming few weeks, few months. It's definitely going to be something that I'll, you know, I'll continue to share, and really, if the opportunity of ever stepping in the ring just once, would be awesome. I mean, one match would be enough, and win or lose, it doesn't make a difference. Against two, it doesn't matter. To me, just that one moment would be enough.
Yeah. Man, it's just a matter of time, dude. But, dude, don't ever feel awkward if you're the only one training, because sometimes it's, you learn more of being the only one training. Like, all the attention is on you, helping you to learn the basics straight away. So don't ever feel like, oh, it's just me here learning, and oh, these guys know so much and I know so little. Nah, man, like, if training is done right, they're all there to help you. And I know that stepping from being in the crowd to being a part of the team that performs in front of the crowd, it's a very sort of like, oh wow, you know, it's a very starstruck moment, like, oh, there's this guy, and oh, I've been talking about this guy for a year, and I've been sitting in the crowd and doing the radio, and now it's so different being up from the desk and being in the ring, and oh wow, like, what a, wow, so it's so much to take in. But you just gotta, it's just a sponge, man. Just become a sponge. Just absorb it all and just learn as much as you can with the time that you've got. And, you know, you'll pick things up at your own speed. That's crucial, man. Don't rush. A lot of guys these days, when I see other shows, or when I see footage, they're rushing, man, a million miles an hour, and they're not letting the crowd pick up what the hell's going on. And I just need to bring it back and slow it down. So yeah, don't overfill with training, or I want to rush through these moves, and I want to get to the good stuff, I want to learn how to pole drive someone, I want to learn how to power someone. Yes, you will, but you need the fundamentals first. So, just get those fundamentals right, man. Don't ever feel awkward to be at training, or, oh, it's just me, and, oh. If you have questions, man, ask. Trust me. They don't know what's going on in your head. They don't know until you ask. And trust me, as I said before, there are no dumb, idiotic answers or questions. You know, you're learning, you've never been a part of the business before, on this side of the ropes, or in the ring, rather, so, you know, just ask, man. That's all it takes. Just ask the questions, and you'll find, you'll feel more relaxed because you've asked. You don't have to be all pent up and nervous, like, I don't really know this move, but I don't want to ask him, but look like an idiot. Nah, man, you shouldn't be made to feel that. You should never be made to feel like when you train that you're a dumb or an idiot, because you're not going to learn. You're going to learn out of fear, but you're not going to enjoy your time there. So, just ask the questions, man. Do it at your own pace, and you'll start having fun, and things will happen when they happen, man.
Definitely not wrong, and that's the best way to put it, because it's so true in that sense that it is what wrestling's all about, and that's enjoying it, having fun, and getting something out of it. And if you're not doing any of them, then there's no point in doing it.
Man, yeah, that's right. If you're not doing it for fun, then, if you're not doing it for fun and not enjoying it, then don't do it at all, because it's going to become a regret. It's going to become, a chore. It's not meant to be. Entertainment's meant to be fun. Entertainment's meant to be an escape for everyone involved, from the people performing, from the people watching. If you're not doing it for enjoyment, you're not doing it to better yourself or to have fun, then leave. Don't do it. Don't be a part of it. Don't even put yourself in the environment, because it's just not going to make it enjoyable. And like I said earlier, the crowd's going to pick up whether you're not feeling natural. If you're going into wrestling or any sort of entertainment field and you're just not all pent up and, oh, this is shit, oh, this is terrible, oh, I don't feel like, oh, then the crowd's not going to care. You're going to make them feel awkward and they're not going to come back to watch you ever again. So, yeah, if you're not doing it for fun, you're not there to learn and have fun and appreciate it, and give back. Give back to the guys that are trained you, and to the people that come and watch every month, then, maybe pro wrestling, let alone entertainment, isn't for you. Maybe there's some other field out there. Who knows?
Definitely not wrong. It's going to be an interesting few months ahead and to see how that all unfolds. I guess, guys, we're going to leave it there. I am going to endeavour to speak to you, Flashman, off the radio, so we can organise a meeting about getting you sorted and making some sort of return to a QCW ring in the near future. And as always, it's great talking to you and great having you on. It's been awesome to get you on for the first Wrestling Asylum podcast show back on in 2015. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to catch up again and see how things are going.
Yeah, no, I had fun, man. Yeah, like I said before, I don't want to feel rushed heading back into anything. I'm happy to sit down and talk about it. I'm very glad. I'm very happy that you guys were able to work it out and have me on for your first podcast in 2015. I like what you guys do. I'm happy to be a part of it and support this. It's good. You guys giving back, and that's what I like. So now that I know who the GM is, it's going to make life a lot easier for me if I ever do decide that I want to come step back into the Sunny Coast or in the future, or who knows, the next couple of months. But yeah, one step at a time. But thank you guys so much for having me on. Thank you, Dave. I'm happy to come back whenever you guys want.
Definitely not wrong. I'm going to endeavour to do what's best for business. Dave, as always, it's been a ripper of a show. We're going to come back next week. We're going to continue, I guess, talking more wrestling, WWE, Hopefully we'll look into TNA, see where the women's wrestling movement is at, and of course talk more QCW, Riot City Wrestling, and any other wrestling shows and events that are out there. We're going to be happy to promote them going forward in the Wrestling Asylum future.
Yeah, it's been a good show. It was good having Flashman back on, and hopefully we have him back again, and you know, we'll talk some more wrestling next week, and hopefully get some more TNA up. It's now a main event for anyone that's wondering. It's 8:30 PM Saturday night, so if you can't find it on any of the Fox Sports channels, it's on main event now.
Definitely one to watch going forward. Guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Let's get the hell out of here. It is, of course, been Mix It Up Radio's Wrestling Asylum. Find Wrestling Asylum on Facebook. Find Flashman on Facebook, QCW on Facebook, Riot City Wrestling on Facebook, and of course, Mix It Up Radio on Facebook. Enjoy the rest of your week. We will be back, hopefully next week for another Wrestling Asylum show.